welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Mm-hmm. 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. We're going to play a special early edition of What Can't Adam Complain About?
Ooh la la.
I'm always in complaint form.
What a way to start the weekend!
Yeah, some people are happy it's Friday. Probably not you.
Not me. I complain about everything.
Why don't you whet everybody's appetite? Complain about the weekend.
Yeah.
Well, let me just say this before I get into complaining about the weekend. I realize that complaining is sort of like, it's like if you read the book Fast Food Nation, you can no longer eat fast food.
Absolutely.
Before you get this knowledge, you can happily go to McDonald's and nosh on your McNuggets and enjoy. Mm-hmm. Like just like a retarded puppy, just chow down. But when you know, once you have some knowledge, and it'd be like, imagine if your vision was so acute, you had such great vision that you could see not only huge pore openings in beautiful women's skin, but you could actually see germs moving on fomites, you know, and things like that. Your life would be ruined. You'd have to kill yourself, right? That's how I am. I'm a little more dialed in, which makes me a little more miserable, which makes me a little more able to complain about anything. Other people just see things and go, ah, that's a beautiful lady. I see flaws and pores and trouble. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like the Terminator. Like, he can just zero in on...
Yes. It's like a Brillo-headed, buck-tooth, hairy-assed, not-so-well-built Terminator with no other real powers other than the powers of complaint.
Weird,
but if you read... Imagine if you... So if you read Fast Food Nation, fast food is ruined. Now, imagine if you read the equivalent of Fast Food Nation for life.
Yes.
Now you're destroyed,
right?
What
gives you the rare superpower to see the bad in everything?
It's a blessing, a mitzvah, as your people would call it. I don't know what it is. Some people use their intelligence for good, others for evil, others to kick themselves in the scrotum. There's the third one. So you always hear about the ones who use it for good or evil. I use my super genius to attack my own scrotum.
Emotionally?
Emotionally.
Okay.
Yes, not literally. No.
Well, usually. Now we have two things for you to complain about. First, the weekend, then your scrotum.
Yes. Which is going to take up the lion's share of the weekend. Because when you get to my age, you should check for leisurous,
tumors.
Cancerous tumors and things like that. Now, for years, I've been doing it the wrong way. Dr. Drew says just physically feel it when you're in the shower. Go ahead and feel your nut egg there and see if there's anything growing on it. For me, I've been using the flashlight technique in pup tent for years. You know, when you're camping, you do that thing where I just drape it over the thing. I see what I can see. So we're not going to complain about it yet. The weekend is good, but I do have this sort of duality where there's one part of me that feels like I need to relax. I should be recharging my batteries. And then there's the weird part of me that thinks, man, I should be doing something.
If there's any time to live during the week, this is it.
Right. So I sort of walk around sort of being tugged in two different directions. A hiking boot on one foot, a house slipper on the other. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not figuratively, literally.
Right.
And the other thing I do is I've mentioned on the weekends, and Will Free, my wife's pregnant, and my wife was capable of sleeping 13 hours a day before the pregnancy. Now... She actually sleeps 26 hours a day. She actually, when she dies, she's going to owe several months. She sleeps 2 hours into the next day. So on Sunday morning, I'll oftentimes wake up at 9:30, 9:45 in the morning, look at the clock, put my head back down, lift it up again. It's 10:30, it's 11 in the morning. And I think to myself, holy Christ, I'm waking up after I get off of work. It's a weird realization, and then, of course, knowing the next day you're going to have to wake up 9 hours earlier really is a mind effort. But, I mean, imagine if all you who have normal jobs out there, imagine, you know, you get off at work at 5:30, 6 in the evening. Imagine waking up on a Sunday at 5:30, 6 in the evening. It'd be weird.
I know. Yeah, it's pretty grim. Hey, now, on the second subject, the scrotum and the testes, mm-hmm. I do the thing every once in a while where you sort of, like, you know, you try to see exactly what's going on with the testicle inside the scrotum. You know, mm-hmm. like you know when you get a bag of chips, a big bag, and then but you're like, oh, it's a big bag, but then you realize they're all down at the bottom. So you mm-hmm. roll it down
mm-hmm.
so that you just see how much chips you have. I you could do the same thing with your scrotum. You know,
yeah.
you can pinch off all the excess packaging and just mm-hmm. see the scrotum. But I feel that's less than scientific. Will you ask Dr. Drew, should I be able to see something when I do
you
that?
Won't,
when I
you pinch you it down? Must. Feel the actual testicle, and if it's smooth, mm-hmm. you have 6 weeks to live. Nah, I just wanted to freak you out. If it's smooth, you're fine. If you're feeling any shards, anything sharp coming off of it, huh. then you got problems. Yeah. The thing I like about testicles is they're all grotesque looking, and I love the idea that there's one part on me that I share with Brad Pitt and every other hunk in Hollywood where theirs is no better than mine. And I'm not sure, maybe little fingers. I'm trying to think of what parts. You don't have too many parts hanging off your body. Your teeth, your nose, your hair is not going to hold up. Scrotum, couldn't tell the difference.
The great equalizer.
Yes. I would argue, and I will do this experiment one day, if I put my scrotum through a hole in a piece of plywood and was just covered up, through a mail slot in the front door of a house, and put it next to Brad's, and we put it next to George Clooney's. You couldn't tell my scrotum.
They're all hairy and droopy.
Yes, that's right. Except for the tattoo, you couldn't tell them apart. All right, so Big Tad and Jimmy Brusca, who just left. I don't need Brusca in here. I don't need him, Mike. They're going at it a little because Big Tad is quietly defiant, and I realize...
Tattitude.
Attitude. I realize this is a problem. As I was watching Survivor last night, I don't know if you guys saw that, but they did this thing. It's diabolical. Where they had everyone vote. Everyone in the tribe votes. Who's the most annoying? Who thinks they're the leader, but they're really not the leader? Who? One chick's name kept coming up over and over again. You know, who's most obnoxious, who thinks they're the best, who thinks they're winning the game, but they're not. And then she was PO'd at everybody, which I say is the wrong attitude. Of course, a lot of people do this. A lot of people act like an a-hole. Then the tribe, as it were, turns on them because they're acting like an a-hole. And then their attitude is, oh, okay, you think I'm an a-hole? Well, now I'll give you a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
We know you're an a-hole. We already decided you're an a-hole, and it's based solely on you being an a-hole. I realize there's a lot of people that just don't know how to be employees. I swear to God, it's no different than politics. Half of it is what you actually do on the job, and the other half is sort of kissing babies. Big Tad, not good at the baby kissing part. We were laughing a few weeks ago because I saw Big Tad just hunker down in the community kitchen here reading the USA Today, upside down, by the way. And I said to him, you know, it's 8 in the morning, which is the equivalent to the middle of the work day. And I said, Tad, what are you working on? And he casually said, nothing.
Sports section.
And I said, well, what are you looking at? What are you looking for there? No, nothing. Could have easily said, I'm just keeping the eye open, boss, seeing if anything tantalizing comes up. More grist for your genius mill. But no, he just said nothing twice. And then I got PO'd. Not PO'd that he wasn't doing anything. I don't care if Tad does anything. He's not going to do anything. PO'd that he's so casual mm-hmm. and defiant. I argue quietly defiant. A lot of people have, don't physically or verbally tell you to act. But that's what they're saying when they do that. Brusca?
Yeah, so yesterday, you know, maybe one of two jobs Ted has is to clean up the studio. So on the way out yesterday, I noticed that the studio was a wreck mm-hmm. and no one cleaned it up. So I find out that Ted went home yesterday early. So I ask Angie, what happened with Ted? You know, he left work early because he was tired.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of bothered me, of course, right. a little bit. So then he comes in this morning, and I ask him, hey, point blank, Ted, why did you leave work early yesterday? And he didn't make something up. He didn't say I have a doctor's appointment, which I really preferred him say that.
Yes.
He says, well, I was tired.
No, I like the get off my back part when the boss asks him to do the job. A lot of employees have that. Why are you riding me, man?
He's turned the corner today. He's multitasking outside right now. He's currently right now. He's napping and eating donuts.
Wow.
He's coming in. But anyway,
And Teresa's my witness. Then, not only did he say that, he proceeded to get loud with me.
Wow.
Here he is.
And I went crazy. I said, wait a second. First of all, I'm the boss. You shouldn't get loud with me. And second of all, you're getting loud with me because you went home because you were tired.
Why are you riding man?
You're crazy. No,
I know. I understand that, Breska, and I apologize for raising my voice. But the thing is
that... crazy.
Wait, hold on.
I'm going to punch him. I swear.
Uh-oh.
I'll lose, but I want to strangle him right now.
I thought there was going to be fisticuffs earlier.
No, here's what happened. I mean, I tried to explain myself to him, but in front of Teresa, he was trying to embarrass me in front of Teresa. I was trying to explain myself.
Don't do that in front of a lady.
No.
I asked you a question. Why did you work early?
But then when I tried to explain to you, you tried to make me look bad, but I was trying to explain to you what I was doing the night before.
I don't care what you're doing the night before.
Okay, but I'm
what
just,
were you doing the night before?
I was at Malibu Dan's thing yesterday. Day before.
So the studio wasn't cleaned up.
It's your unofficial business.
Let me talk. Now we're missing stuff because the studio wasn't cleaned up. Now we're missing stuff. And because of Malibu Dance Party, because you were partying, then on top of that, you wouldn't even come up with an excuse that you had a doctor's appointment. You said, well, I was tired. I went home early. And I'm wrong.
No, you're not wrong.
Wow.
You should raise your voice to me.
I'm apologizing to you right on the air about
that. Well, wait a second. What was the yelling about from your end, Tad? What did you say?
Ask Teresa, because I don't even remember.
I don't even remember.
He started raising his voice first. You lucky I didn't raise my voice. You lucky I don't get rid of you.
Listen, it was a little uncomfortable because, you know, when people are having a fight and it's like, who's afraid of Virginia Woolf and you're stuck in the middle and you don't know what to do. I didn't know if I should leave the studio because... at one point, Tad raised his voice a tiny bit, and then Jimmy just went
escalated.
Off. Yeah, and he was like, don't raise your effing voice! And then I was going toward the door.
No, what were you doing?
God damn it.
I was walking down the hall and overheard something that I may be able to be construed as a hate crime because
really?
Of Breska's proclivity. I heard Tad yell, go get your golf clubs from Rosie's cruise ship.
I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian.
I'm just saying, obviously, if you yelled at a black man to go get his chicken from, you know, LL Cool J's crib, there could be a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? I don't think it's much different, Tad. And for that, I think you owe him and the entire lesbian community an apology.
Okay, here's what happened on Wednesday. I came here, I was here at 5, and then I was going to go sleep at Jimmy's house for a while for the thing later on that night.
Kimmel's house?
Kimmel's, yes.
I can't believe he still puts up with you.
Come on, man.
Come
on, keep it real. So anyway.
When did Kimmel's place become a crash pad for you?
Well, no, the thing is because I was doing that thing later on that night, I didn't want to drive all the way down to Orange County and then come back. But what had happened was...
do you think Letterman opens his doors to people like this?
And by the way, sorry, let me answer your question. About 8 years ago, Kimmel's been having flunkies flop at his house for over about 8 or 9 years now. Go ahead. Sorry, Tim.
So anyway, our new production guy, Mike Dawson, and I are looking for apartments. And we went down to Santa Monica yesterday, Wednesday also, to look for apartments.
What does this have to do with leaving work because you're tired?
Let me jump in.
I'm trying to tell him, and he's not letting me finish.
Right,
this
I'm
is
what, you're wrong.
Hold on. Let me jump in here, Big Dad.
Yes.
Let me say something. Do not try to answer my pretty. Couple of things. First off, everybody has reasons why they should be tired, irritable, or whatever from week to week. People stay up too late. The other night, Sheck went out boozing with the boys with some Kimmel thing. Came in here on 2 hours sleep. He didn't get in anyone's grill. Number one. Number two, this is the army. That's what the work is. There's generals. There's privates. There's, you know what I'm talking about?
I understand that.
You're down on the chain. Now, here's the thing, Tad. You have the same MO in every job you have. You're a nice guy. You're a likable guy. You come up. People like you. Then you have a little moment. Then people like you again. Then you have a little moment again. Then they like you again. And then eventually you have a third moment. And that becomes too many moments for the employer, for whoever's employing you, and you hit the road. I'm just saying... Stop with the repetition. Stop the cycle. Break the chain here. Yes, sir. No, sir. Try it out for 6 months. See how it works.
I've been trying here, but I just...
You know.
I mean, the way... I understand he is my boss. I understand that.
That's right.
But the way he... he was saying it in front of Teresa and trying to embarrass me.
Tad,
like this.
I mean, here's a heavy thought. You've been in radio 1,000 times longer than Brusca has. You may be in Los Angeles in show business 5 years longer than Brusca has. If you didn't have this problem 11 years ago, you wouldn't be taking orders from Brusca today. Interesting.
I disagree with that, but...
Well, no. But seriously, I know it's, I know we're making a joke and everything, but if you didn't have this component to you psychologically, a little authority, one step forward, two steps back, whatever it is... You've been in radio for 11 years. You've been with Kimmel for 10 or 11 years. You could easily be doing what Brusca's doing. You're now doing the same thing, and that's why you're in a holding pattern. I'm not just saying that to you. I'm saying that to everyone who's listening. You people that go to work, get into it with the boss. He's an a-hole. You move to your next job. You move to your next job. The reason you're not getting anywhere is not because people hate you or attempting to hold you down. People don't know who you are. They don't care who you are. You're making your own bed. Now, you can change or you can take orders from husky lesbians for the rest of your life.
Can I'm chubby or malignant.
Thank
Teresa,
you.
Teresa, you were the only one there.
Yes.
Was I out of line in any way, shape, or form?
Well, you did raise your voice quite a bit.
With yes.
After he raised his voice for
yes.
being tired, missing work because he was tired. I'm supposed to be happy about this. Oh, great, Ted. Anytime you want to leave work because you're tired, I'm tired. Adam, you're tired? Take
okay,
off.
See,
just go
see
home.
Now you're being an ass.
Are you serious? Because I'll leave.
You know what, Brusca? Now you're yeah. I'm trying to.
I would, but Kim will be pissed when he comes in.
I do agree with Adam that in the sense that you are the boss, you were right. Because as the boss... It may be inappropriate to scream at Tad in front of me, but you're the boss, and Tad should just say, sorry, sir.
He screamed at me first, which is the craziest thing. Who screamed at who first?
That was crazy. What I want to know
who
is...
Who screamed at... Did I scream at him first?
He
My first question was, why did you leave work early? Just like that, not raised.
I don't know
you answered because I'm tired. Then you started explaining yourself.
Well,
then you raised your voice.
Let me jump in and say...
But then you came in and said something else to me when I was trying to explain it, and you just wouldn't listen.
Tad,
I was trying to
here's,
explain it.
Let me explain. Here's yes, the deal. Boston. If you raise your voice, it is screaming. You know what I mean? If yeah. a private said
yes, to the
General Patton, hey, listen, get off my back. He's going to be tackled and dragged into the brig. That's screaming. That's the problem. When you're that low on the food chain, pardon the pun, you cannot even raise your voice at all. That's the whole thing. Total respect all the time. Make everyone yes. love you and move up the ladder. Or you can have these episodes every 5 weeks and stay exactly where you are for the next 11 years, by the way, which is when we met.
This is a crazy army that we're in. Brusca's a general. I didn't even think the military allowed gays.
don't ask, don't tell.
That's
I think
right.
I'm a lesbian.
All right, let's take a break. We've settled nothing,
right.
but we have killed 9 minutes, and that's the important
Tad
part.
Tad should have to play Ass Kiss Rodeo with Brusca.
Oh.
Oh, to make up for the insubordination.
Wow, I like that. All right, let's work on a little Ass Kiss Rodeo, a little staff-on-staff Ass Kiss Rodeo. Also, what can't Adam complain about coming up? Call in. Give me a topic. I defy you to find a topic that I can't complain about. After this,
I can feel Fat Tad coming, cause he weighs 400 pounds. Every time he starts walking, his footsteps shake the ground. He's got a head the size of a pumpkin, and a smell that'll knock you down. He's big, fat, sweaty Tad. You better hide your food when he's around.
Rob?
Yeah.
You have a comment?
Yeah. Is he fit?
What's that, Rob?
Is it fit?
Yes.
What's happening, Tom? I got a feeling, I've seen this, I'm 36, and I've worked all over the place, and I got a feeling that I've seen what's going on with Tad before. You get to a point where with certain people, you're not looking at Pat anymore, or you're not looking at your boss that you have to have that respect for. Every once in a while, you have your moments, and you're looking at that guy that breaks your balls a little too much. Yeah.
All right.
Huh.
He sounds like a model employee, whatever Rob was saying. I'd love to have him underneath me on the workforce. Here's what I'm saying, Big Tad. Here are your choices in life. You got three choices. You can be really goddamn good in which case you can throw a little attitude around every once in a while. We discussed earlier.
Barry Bonds was allowed to be a creep for about 18 years. Now people finally had it.
Bill Maher, not known as the nicest guy to work with, not the warmest to the folks he goes to work with and does whatever, but he delivers. That's really what celebrity is. People, you know, say this person's a prima donna, this person's a head case. That's right. But their pictures make $80 million at the box office, and so be it. They can do whatever they want. Now, if you're not that person, and I'm going to go ahead and rule you out of that category, Tad, okay. You must then, people must like to be around you. Because if you ain't exactly tearing up the workplace in the work department, then our only other choice is Big Tad's a great guy. So, you have to work hard on the ladder in that case. You understand?
Yeah, I understand that.
All right. Also, Tad, here's as we were talking during the break. Your job, whenever the boss man comes into the room, it's like when a cop pulls you over. You ever watch a show, Cops?
Yeah.
Pull the cop over. Hey, man. You know what I'm going to need you to do for me right now, okay? Right now, okay, for me? And you got that guy behind the pickup truck. Say, would you do take your a-hole pills today? Sure, I'm going to need you to watch your tone. I have to watch. Next thing you know, the guy's out of the car, the guy's knees and the guy's spine, and he's calling for backup, right?
Yeah.
Now, your job, when you run into Brusca, when you run into me, when you run into Kimmel, when you run into almost anybody in this building, beside the guy who's filling the machine over there, is you just got pulled over. License, registration, how can I help you, officer?
Yes, sir.
You look like you've lost weight. Not you, but to the officer.
Okay.
All right, Big Tad. Go over there and make me and do.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Clear out.
Oh, okay.
We got to play What Can't Adam Complain About? Although Mickey is calling Brusca crybaby. Mickey?
Yes.
You think Brusca's a crybaby?
Yes. He's so oversensitive. He's always complaining about something. And
well,
he takes things too seriously.
I would blame this solely on Tad if Brusca had not yelled at me 2 weeks ago on the air for not showing him enough respect. So he does have a history.
He's yelled at me, too.
I mean, I understand Tad was in the wrong and everything, but still, he just... And then I think he brings too much of it on air, you know?
I didn't want to bring this on air. I definitely didn't want to bring it on air. Didn't want to bring this on air, but everybody else wants
to. He didn't want to bring it on the air.
Well, even with the Damashek thing a few weeks back, you know? That was all brought up on the air and stuff, too. And it's like, oh, my gosh, it sounded like a little baby going on.
What did I say about Damashek? I don't remember that. Damashek makes fun of you five times a day.
No,
that's not me.
He's making fun of you and you get too sensitive about it.
Too sensitive?
You know, he's just having fun. Now he calls you a lesbian.
I even said clearly to Adam that day 2 weeks ago that I don't mind him calling me chubby lesbian. And in fact, I encourage it. How am I too sensitive?
You encourage
it. I like it. I think it's funny.
All right.
Terrific.
All right, Mickey. Thanks for listening.
But anyways, Christian is awesome. I'm going to go down south, make the trip down there to watch him.
You are.
You're
out in Bakersfield. You're going to come out to the Improv on the 10th. May 10th.
In L.A.
Yes.
And you're going to see Christian and Jeff Ross and David Alan Greer. What is the website you go to, by the way? Do we know?
I got to go get the card.
All right.
HollywoodImprov.com.
HollywoodImprov.com. So if you want to come see our night of comedy, I'll be hosting. You can actually see Brusca in the flesh. Big Tad, you can see in the flesh. If you just look out your window right now. He can be spotted.
He just waved you off.
He's angry. He's split. That's fine. All right. The point is yes, Brusca's sensitive. He comes from a part of the world where respect means a lot. It's funny. When you're from the East, you know, from New Jersey, New York, it's a lot of respect talk. People are born in Arizona. In
you
New Mexico,
me disrespect.
Nobody's ever born in like Flagstaff or New Mexico and goes, "You're not showing me enough respect, Pauly." It never happens. First off, there's no one named Pauly, but secondly, they don't even have the word respect in their vocabulary. It's weird.
Yeah, now, here's the thing, Adam.
What?
I'm deciding whether I talk about that.
Come on, do it.
But when you're a celebrity like yourself,
you know, you get leeway with being a little disrespectful to people, and I gave you that leeway, but it's not like I have an issue with respect.
But you had a breaking point.
I had a
There's only so much you could take.
Yes.
Me, high on coke, parading up and down the halls like the Queen of Sheba, barking orders at everybody who comes in my path.
No, you're not like that.
Shine my shoes, knave!
You're saying it was the cumulative.
I'm out of control.
Effect.
Yes, cumulative. And same thing with Ted. It's like, you know, how many times do I gotta?
Right. I don't even remember. But wait, you got crossed with Ace once?
Oh, be quiet.
Wait.
No,
I
don't know. Rusty and I are arguing off the air now.
Oh, here we go. Refresh my memory.
God, say your piece, Preska, before we talk
Such
about
it.
Such a fool.
It's, whatever. It's not. Listen, the bottom line is it's not worth getting into on the air, but.
All right. You don't like the disrespect.
I disagree.
Well,
I disagree too.
I'm not going to be a punching boy, you know, or whipping boy, whatever.
That's I'm not calling you stupid. I'm just saying, here's what happens. The guest sits down. The guest doesn't have the mic in front of him. Then I say to you during the break, hey, Preska, we need to have the mic in front of the guest.
The bottom line is this. I show you respect when you forget things, which is plenty of time.
Are you getting angry again?
And
yes.
I never jump in.
He's angry on tape and angry in real life and angry in the future, which is interesting. Most people can't do that. He's upset.
No, I want to recap what happened, and then hopefully we can move on.
Okay.
The mic thing, and Adam's 100% correct. I should take care of the mic thing, get it close to the guest. That one time... And it was a lot of things he was getting on my case about, but that one time, I was not my fault completely. I was not even in the room. He gave me crap about it. I just had enough with the cumulative effect of him giving me crap.
Well, speaking of the cumulative effect, it happened three times in a row. That's why
right
I said
about
it.
That. You're right about that. And I'm the first one to say when I'm wrong. You were right about that, but it was that specific time you were wrong about and other times, which you were giving me crap
old
about.
Wounds.
I didn't want to bring it up. But let's switch back to Ted, because that's the issue at hand.
Well, listen, the issue at hand is that you've attacked Tad and Ace, and as Mickey reminds me, I'm a beaten spouse. I don't even remember anymore.
Yes, all he knows.
Yes.
Look, here's the only part I resent, and then we're going to play What Can't Adam Complain About. Breska would not be on that list, by the way. I could fill a show complaining about that, Breska. Here's the thing, Breska. I do not like being portrayed as a guy where, you know, you look the other way because of my star-like attitude, but eventually you're going to burst at the dam. You can only hold so much. I pride myself on being less starish than any celebrity I know or have worked with. Now, I'm not saying the sweetest guy, not saying the warmest guy, I'm not saying the friendliest guy. I'm just saying the least star-like attributes. No, don't expect people to do a bunch of stuff for me. Don't expect any special treatment. When we do the man show and it was time to break for lunch, I didn't go to the front of the line and say I need to eat first. I would stand behind the crew and do it. I'm conscious of it. So it is something I pay attention to. And you can stop me if I'm wrong, but I think I have none of that attitude. Now, like I said, may not be the how was your weekend, how are the kids, what's going on guy, but in terms of star attitude, Teresa.
Yes.
Have you experienced any of that? You're a newcomer here.
I was just going to comment on this. Well, at first I thought, a little cold, and I was a little nervous, but, you know, you made eye contact and you were nice to me, and exactly what you said, maybe not the warmest, but... very diplomatic with people during the meeting. If they have ideas, you don't just say that was a horrible idea. You're diplomatic. And I believe it was yesterday or the day before, you wanted the clock moved here in the studio, and you just said, well, get me a tool and I'll move it myself. You actually wanted to get on a ladder and move the clock rather than have
That's right.
Studio.
And every man.
Yes.
Thank you.
And in the meantime, Bruska's over here writing a book about you so you can make a mint of Adam Dearest or something.
I will say this, though. You were giving me crap about stuff that you shouldn't have been giving me crap about. And you were being nasty in a malicious way.
In a malicious way.
I cannot believe we're talking about this again.
All right, but wait a minute.
I'm over it.
Teresa, you've been here for 2 weeks. Have you seen me give Bruska and or anybody else grief about something in a malicious way?
You've been very respectful.
Since that time, it's been much better. Before that time...
I'm a new man.
No.
All right. Well, think, Mike, have you experienced me change
no,
at
no,
all?
No, I just think that now you recognize that I don't like the mean, malicious stuff, and now you've changed a little bit, and I appreciate that. I do.
All right.
And, well, and I don't think you're the worst person in the world. You obviously.
Thank you.
Actually,
there are worse celebrities.
No, I think.
What a compliment.
I don't mean it like that.
You're not the worst person in the world.
I hear what you're saying about the celebrity thing. You are not a bad celebrity or whatever.
I'm definitely not top 10.
You're not.
Top 15 or 20, perhaps.
And honestly, it wasn't that big of a deal. It was just like when you work together every day, you're going to butt head sometimes. We're together 4 months. We're working hours upon hours. I look at it as it just happened. It's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to talk about it on the air.
Right.
I just wanted to voice my displeasure. Literally 5 seconds, all he said was, you know, I don't appreciate doing that, but whatever. It wasn't even a big deal. Next thing you know, it's on the air. We're talking about it 2 weeks later.
All right.
It's not a big deal to me. I would just say, though, it has been better since that point.
All right. I've turned around.
I think it's in your mind that, you know, maybe not giving me as much
crap. Bruska planted a seed, and now it's blossomed into a more respectful Adam Carolla.
Thank you.
May I add one thing?
Yes.
One day when I was just, you know, I'd only been here a few days, during a commercial break, you hadn't spoken to me at all, and you sort of looked over and said, you're funny. And, like, all day I was in a great mood because I thought, wow, he went out of his way to say something nice. He didn't have to do that.
I was talking to Dave, actually. He was standing behind you. You thought he left the room, but he's there.
I was trying to make you look like a nice everyman.
Well, that's the whole thing. You see, it's like profanity. Once. You see, if you swear a lot, it loses its meaning. Mm. If you hand out a lot of compliments and even eye contact, it loses its meaning.
Right.
Once a month, you drop you're not so bad, kid. And all, you're on cloud nine for the rest of the day because I never say anything.
Do you do that with your wife as well?
No, she gets zero. I want to keep her hungry.
Well, Bruska's trying the same tact. He just told you're not the worst person in the world.
He's not even a bad celebrity.
No.
He's a good celebrity. He is, and he's right about that. He is a good celebrity.
Good celebrity. Just,
thank you.
You know what I mean? He's not that pompous way about him. He's a regular guy. He is, and that's great.
Sure.
That's what I like about you.
I know we went out to lunch the other day, and I had you guys carry me, but that's just because my feet are sore.
And I had to fan you, but you were hot.
Ah, that's right. My brain overheats, and I can't play games like What Can Adam Complain About? All right, now we're running out of time.
One
Bruska.
Other thing is...
Yes.
I don't know what to say. Go ahead. Play the game.
Go ahead. No, seriously, I will say this to Bruska and everyone else in my life. I don't look at myself as the most secure guy in the world, but I look at myself as having a very even compass. And you can think whatever you want to think about me, Bruska. And I'm not saying you think bad things about me, but this goes for everybody in my life, family, Bruska, everybody. You could think I'm a horrible guy. But even if you do, or you think I'm a prima donna or cold or whatever, if I feel in my heart, not my heart of hearts, just my heart, that's enough. I don't know why we need it. One a playing card and one an organ. How does that work? And why not a third heart, as long as you're going with two? But if I feel like I've treated you fairly, and that doesn't mean I haven't raised my voice, and that doesn't mean I haven't had complaints or demands or said to you, hurry, or we already talked about this, or I can't believe I'm saying this again. But if I feel like I've treated you fairly, I sleep like a baby. I have no problem. So even if I thought you hated my guts, if I thought in my guts of guts that I hadn't been unfair with you, then I'm fine.
All right. I will say the one small criticism I have of Adam, and actually I can relate to this too because I'm the same way, is you don't really like new people. And I'm kind of a new person. And as Damashek mentioned, when you first met Damashek, you didn't talk to him for about a year. And
I didn't know who he was.
And I'm the same way, and I completely relate to it. So maybe that was part of it. And you know, I'm like a new person in your life, and it takes a little getting used to people and getting to know them, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And maybe you more so than other people. And or
wait, I let, think let, I, let me just say I, my yeah. one thing with you, your one problem in my book is that you love too much.
Mm. Thanks, Dave.
Give too much
hug
of yourself
out on that one. No, let me say this. Let me float this theory for a second. This is interesting. I don't think, you know, I would never be rude to anybody I met or don't know very well. I'm not the warmest guy when you meet me. On the other hand, it's an interesting thing. Most people who don't know you, you don't talk that much, you don't have that much contact, but you don't care because the guy's a civilian. Now, I don't want to play the celebrity card here, but I'm under a little more pressure. When I meet somebody new, because maybe they know me from television or radio or whatever, they expect a little more out of me. They don't expect that much out of Mike the intern. Nobody calls Mike the intern standoffish when you meet him, because if he's quiet, well, who cares and who knows? If I'm quiet, I have an attitude. I don't look at myself as being rude to people I meet. I just look at them as I don't know them. I'm going to say hi. I'm going to be cordial, but we're not going to hug because it's weird because I don't know them. But because I'm a quasi celebrity, I get the, ooh, this guy's sporting a toot. You know what I mean? Like, I met Teresa. I don't want to be any different than anybody else here. That's the thing that's weird. Now, it seems like I have attitude. It's really, I don't look at myself any different than intern Mike over there. I'll be nice to Teresa. I'll say hi. I'll say thank you. And one day we'll get to know each other. Besides, she's not staying on anyway. Okay.
Don't get attached to the new puppy. It's going back to the pound.
It's really low. Yeah, it's really low self-esteem that drives this whole thing. I just don't look at myself as any different than anywhere else. But I should realize the difference. Yes. Damashek, we didn't talk. I didn't talk to him for a year and a half because I looked at him as an intruder. I really did.
It was a terrible thing. I'd watch football with him. I went over to our pal Sal's house every Sunday to watch the football games. There would be a total of 4 or 5 people there the entire football season. 8 hours of football every Sunday. Ace would walk into the room and it would be like, "Hey Sal, hey Jimmy, look me in the eye for a brief second, and then think better of saying hello to me."
Oh, please, I'm not that bad.
Let's go to break, by the way.
Yeah, we need to take a break. I looked at you as an intruder, like an ant looks at a termite. You know, we had a nice little colony going, and then you came in.
Yes.
I still feel that way. All right, let's break. Should we play What Can't Adam Complain About when we come back?
Sure.
All right, after this. What can't Adam complain about? As it turns out, I can complain about anything.
Koala bears.
Koala bears. They're standoffish. It's like they're hot chicks, but they're covered with fur. And they're on Quaaludes.
Oh, masturbation.
I don't like to watch other guys do it, I'll tell you that right now.
I bet you can't complain about Helen Keller.
Horrible lay. Totally unresponsive. I did a slow strip tease at the foot of the bed. Nothing. I didn't even go any further than that. That's enough. Wow, well, there you go. Can't Adam complain about. Tell the truth, I'd rather just sit back and listen to my past complaints. My complaints gone by. Well, Damashek wants to do another hour 45 with Brusca, but I've decided to push the show along. Lick your wounds, Brusca.
Thank you.
All right.
I agree with you.
Now here's the deal. The origins of the game. I bought a Ferrari on eBay. A cheap Ferrari, I feel like I should say. I have some expensive cars, but I don't want you to think I'm such a maniacal rich madman that I just go spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on eBay. It was $33,000. A cheap Ferrari. There are some out there. I bought it. It was supposed to show up on Friday. It was a long weekend, and it showed up on Monday, and I had a horrible weekend because my Ferrari did not show up off the truck, and I complained the entire weekend, and then it struck me, what can't I complain about?
Well, but to be fair, that wasn't the origin of the game. It's like pretentious comedian types who say, like, I didn't choose comedy. Comedy chose me.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. You didn't choose to complain. Complaining chose you.
Right. I understand. I was just thinking. No, I was daydreaming. I was thinking, man, why didn't comedy choose Damashek? Why? Why? Would have been so awesome to sit next to a guy who comedy had chosen. But instead, he was forsaken. Passed over. Like he smeared blood on his door.
Lamb's blood.
That's right.
Your sympathy means everything. Now, let's move on to the gold medal complainer of the world.
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man has a complaint for it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
Before we get started, it should be noted I have no idea what the topics are. If you look at my screen, I can see that Troy is online, too, from Phoenix, but there's nothing in the column that would suggest what the topic is. So, I'm going blind to the phones. Troy, how say you?
I say pretty good. How say you?
I'm complaining that you're not giving me your topic.
My topic is that you are one of the few people in the world, and this is an awesome thing, who can complain about not being able to complain even. I think it's awesome.
Yes. What, if I complained about not being able to complain, it would be like a snake eating its own tail. I would disappear. I can't do it. I'm sorry. It's too dangerous.
It's a mind bender.
Yeah, it's a mind bender.
Yes.
Who's next? Jason.
How about the almighty 16D sinker?
The almighty 16D. Oh, the 16-penny sinker.
Correct.
This is a nail, 16-penny, twice the size of the 8-penny sinker. And why is it called a sinker? Because it's vinyl-coated, of course, and it goes into the wood that much easier. Well, not only does it go into the wood easier, but it goes in your skull easier, and it goes in your femur easier. Every day you pick up the newspaper and you find out some guy got shot in the head with a nail gun, a framing gun, 16-penny sinkers. I like the guy who didn't know it until lunch. There's a thinker. I'd like to put him and Big Tad up and have them both take the SATs. Guy's walking around with 3.5 inches in his skull and has no idea. Boy, when you got that kind of room in your brain, that's a bad sign. So, they're your best friend or they're your worst enemy. They never, there's no in between. No one ever says, you know, the gun, it can be your best friend or it can be this guy you kind of know. A little bit standoffish, like Corolla for the first 18 months watching football over at Kimmel. No one ever says that. Who's next? Shane?
Complain about a hot shade on a hot day. I don't want any other factors. No caterpillars you sat on. No trees falling on you. Complain about the shade itself.
Well, first off, you'll not dictate how the game is played. If I want to sit on a caterpillar, I'll sit on a caterpillar. If I want to sit on a gaggle of pillars, I'll do it.
You got it. You got it. Complain
I'll tell you what I don't like about the shade. I've noticed dogs like to make in the shade. I've noticed that when I lie down by a tree, I don't lie. When's the last time you lay down on a patch of grass for more than about 15 seconds without getting the slight waft of Duke? I've realized now that they're more dogs than there are humans on this planet now. Everyone goes out and asses their dog everywhere. Only half of it is cleaned up. And I always get a wafting of Duke when I lie down by the base of a tree in a shade. Plus, a lot of ants congregate on trees. They hang out. You notice? You're smelling Duke. You're feeling something crawl up your buttocks. That's my problem with shade. Made in the shade? Hardly. Rachel?
I do not think you can complain about Adam Carolla.
Oh, sure. Look at me. You know, I realize you think you're looking good, and then you see a picture of yourself, and you realize you're a pig. And then you think, well, maybe it's just a bad picture. And then you think, but how many bad pictures can I see before I just admit it ain't going on? I was looking at the picture of me and the hot 19-year-old surfer, Areola. And while she was in here, can't remember her name. She's
Anastasia.
Hot. Anastasia. She's 19. She's hot. She's in here. She's making goo-goo eyes at me. She's talking sweet. And I think to myself, oh, maybe I have a shot. And then I looked at the picture of me and her blown up the other day. I look like a fat manager standing next to her. Just a disgusting pig. Yeah, I'm a mess. Thank you, Rachel. One more. Let's go to line 7. James.
Yes, I don't think you can complain about your own show.
Well, I just complained about myself, so if you do the math, I can complain about my own show.
And you just complained about me and Brusque.
Yeah, what about Brusque over here? Chris?
Yeah. Hey, this is Ed Miller's son, Chris, in Las Vegas.
Fantastic. Hold on. Andre?
Yeah, Adam, I know what you're complaining about. Oswaldo's barbecue.
I'll tell you what I can complain about is Waldo and his barbecuing. First off, I bought him that goddamn barbecue. Secondly, when Oswaldo worked for me building my house, every Friday was barbecue day, and you don't barbecue in 20 minutes. He took 2 hours out of every goddamn day, barbecued every Friday was barbecue day. I'd smell it coming up the street, guys lounging around, filling themselves with flap steak, which I would pay for, by the way. So, barbecuing, not a bad thing, just like we talked about earlier, a gun, not inherently bad, but in the hands of a maniacal criminal. Oh, yes. Very bad. And that's how you play What Can't Adam Complain About. Thank you.
That was What Can't Adam Complain About.
All right. Chris? Ed's son from Las Vegas? Chris?
Hey, what's going on, Adam?
What's happening?
Oh, nothing much. I had something I wanted you to see if you can complain about.
You sound like your dad.
Well, a little bit.
Okay.
Dead is our regular caller from Vegas who reviews Desperate Housewives and such for us.
Thank you. That's right. Yeah, well, Chris, I don't want to steal your thunder or step on you or anything, but we kind of closed up shop on what can Adam complain about.
Well, are you the cop, or are you the one who did some time?
No, I'm the one that he lives with.
Oh.
I'm guessing that's the one that did some
five
time.
Five sons? You're one of five sons of Ed?
Yeah, I have four brothers.
JC does some math, yeah. All right, Chris.
Yeah.
We're up. You have your dad's cadence. We're up against it here because we're running late for break.
All right, no problem.
I'm sorry.
Take it easy.
All right. I don't mean to disappoint you, but I just wanted to say hi to you. Plus,
this is the snub that Brusco was talking about earlier.
Let me tell you,
Chris over the phone, and you were barely nice to him.
Icy cold.
Speaking of Brusco, let me say this. Brusco.
Please, no more. We got
to
break.
Let me just say this. Let me just say this. You know what it's like? It's like when there's some priest who's been serving some church for years and years and years, and everyone thinks he's a great guy, and then one guy comes forward and says he molested me, and then another voice, and then another. The floodgate, yes. And then the floodgates open. It only took the one voice to come forward and say, Father Flanagan, right. Over... Now they're coming out of the woodwork. Yeah. There's people that don't even work here that are complaining about Brusco now.
I'm this terrible guy. Teresa, am I a terrible guy?
You're one of the nicest bosses I've ever worked for.
I hope as a part of the news you'll be telling the story of what Brusco did to make you cry.
I cried one time, but you're one of the
Mike
kindest
Lynch,
people I've ever worked
Lynch,
for.
Am I a bad guy? Am I a bad boss?
I'm taking the fifth.
I'm just saying.
That's wrong.
I think my molestation priest analogy may be spot on. Everyone's stepping up now.
Yeah.
All right. We will take ourselves a break. We'll be back.
And now, Oswaldo reads the 100 greatest movie quotes of all time. Number 6, from Dirty Harry in Sudden Impact.
Go ahead. Make it my day.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes. Nobody adds syllables like Oswaldo. 17 years I've known the man. Still can't pronounce my first name. Bill is here.
Hey,
our
Adam.
Squirrely 17-year-old intern. Bill, I don't know if he's an intern. He's here to work on the web, right, Bill?
Yes, sir.
High school student.
And a go-getter. Moxie, I like the cut of your jib, kid.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you're a big fan of mine?
Oh, definitely.
That's what I love. I love an ass kisser. Maybe that was Sheck's problem. Maybe it still is. Yes?
We should do Ass Kiss Rodeo if we have time.
I would love to do that. What high school do you go to, Billy?
Buena Vista.
Buena Vista.
Yes.
I like the flavor you give it. A lot of people call it Buena Vista, but Buena Vista. How are you doing with the ladies over there?
I'm busy, so I'm keeping it on the lowdown right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I hear you.
Billy's focusing on career right now. No room for ladies.
I was busy in high school, too. I was actually pretty busy ever up until I got on MTV, and then all of a sudden I wasn't so busy anymore. I had time for the ladies. Ironically, the schedule was never more busy, but found a little time for the ladies. But you're busy. Billy, why are you on the air right now?
Well, I just wanted to remind everybody that me and Jack Sullivan are working very hard on AdamCarolla.com, and we added a new feature to the website, the Adam Carolla chat room. So all you have to do is go under links and click on the Adam Carolla chat room, and there's fans there talking about the show and, you know, chime in on what's going on the air.
All right, so give that out one more time.
You just go to www.adamcarolla.com and click on the Adam Carolla chat room.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Billy.
No problem.
Sorry about Brusco yelling at you moments before we went on the air.
He's only 17.
What are you doing here, kid?
Kid, why are you in the seat?
And by the way, can I just say, part of AdamCarolla.com, two good things. You can find a way to get the tickets to the HollywoodImprov.com for the big show Wednesday, May 10th with Christian, our 13-year-old comedian, and Jeff Ross and Ace and everybody else. And then also, the other thing, like Billy, a high school student who, you know, doesn't have time for the ladies, if you're having a hard time, you're having a hard time finding that special girl or the nerve to ask the special girl out to the prom, let Adam do it for you on the air.
Well,
go to the website. You'll find out how to go in there and give the girl's phone number, and Adam will call her on the air.
Billy, you have it is prom season. Are you a senior?
Yes, sir.
All right. When now you're 17, so you're senior over at Buena Vista High School.
Yeah.
Are you going to be attending the prom? Because that usually happens in May, right? I mean, we're 2-3 weeks away from the prom.
Yeah, but I haven't planned on it.
Too busy.
I don't have.
Too busy.
Oh. Yeah.
You don't want to.
Pretty much.
Have you asked anybody?
No.
Well, let Adam help you out here.
Yeah, maybe we can set you up.
Think of that special girly that you want to go with.
If you did go to the prom, you would go with a lady.
Definitely. Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right, just, got to check these days. You have to. All right, well, maybe we can get something going for you there, Billy.
Sounds good.
I know your time is. And by the way, aren't you supposed to be at school right now?
I'm on spring break.
Ah, and look at you. Look at you. A lot of guys, when I was your age, I was smoking weed and playing with slot cars. Not at the radio station working on my own website, which would have been weird. Thank you, Billy.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Godspeed to you. We'll see if we can find you a prom date. Yeah.
All right, Brusca. You don't have to grab him around the collar to get him out of here.
Now it is time. That is, if you can find the time for the ladies.
Definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
Squeeze it in.
All right. Now it is time for, if you have the time, Teresa.
By the way, I didn't have time to go to my prom in high school. And
you didn't.
No one had time to ask me.
Wow.
Well, that maybe we could.
I could make up for the fact that I never went to my prom by going to Billy's prom.
What a coup for Billy that would be for this fox to walk in on his arm.
You've got a brand new pair of roller skates. He's got a brand new key. Uncut, I hear. And you guys could maybe work something out.
Age, you say you like girls who, you like people who kiss your ass a little bit. I think Teresa has done so. Yesterday, you made mention of there's nothing you like better than a girl in boots and a skirt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at Teresa today.
That means the world to me.
There's more than one way to kiss an ass.
Yes, I like that. Using your feminine wiles. By the way, Paul Weitz is coming in here. He's the director of American Dreams and American Pie and a million other popular movies over the last few years. So we're going to talk to him in a second. Also, Leanne Rimes is going to be on the phone. Jimmy Kimmel in studio. Jesse Jane, super hot Playboy television. Jesse Jane coming in here just to give everyone a heads up. But first, Teresa Strasser with the news.
A screaming protester confronted President Bush and Chinese President Hu at a welcoming ceremony on the White House lawn yesterday. Things turned less than welcoming when President Hu was heckled.
President Bush! Stop him! I'll kill him!
Really?
Now, her problem is that she's from the Falun Gong spiritual movement, which is banned in China. And she was trying to make it known. Can we hear that again?
President Bush! Stop him! I'll kill him!
Kill him?
She made her point. Stop him. She wasn't mad at Bush. She's mad at
President Bush! Stop him! I'll kill him!
Wow.
Stop him from killing.
Ah.
Maybe.
I see.
She's angry at President Hu from China. She doesn't have a beef with Bush.
Also, a guy who's not a fan of Bush's anti-hockey stance did this.
Thank you!
Thanks, Dave.
All right.
Well, yeah, I'd have fun if somebody wanted President Hu out of there with a little wordplay, you know? All right, I'll get rid of him. Just tell me the name of the president, and I will get him out of office. Who? I'm asking you!
Who?
Say the name, and I will have him removed.
Who?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Would you like to write it down? Okay.
In entertainment news, Julia Roberts made her big Broadway debut this week, and reviews range from bad to brutal.
Look, I watch all those shows, and I can't help it. I'm an intellectual lightweight. I watch Entertainment Tonight, Access Hollywood, and Insider, and all this stuff. The top of every one of their stories, other than the cruise baby, is Julia Roberts taking the stage. And after about an hour of watching this with the old lady, Julia Roberts on stage, interviews with Julia Roberts. What's it like being on stage? I turned to my wife, and I said to her, "What the F does Julia Roberts do for a living? Is she a fighter jockey? Does she drive a tugboat? Or is she an actress?" Everybody, please, Pat O'Brien, if you're listening, here's a news flash. Julia Roberts, the reason we know who Julia Roberts is, the reason we call her the pretty lady, is taking the stage. She's an actress. She's been acting for 25 years.
Oh, Adam, don't understand the difference.
The stage is different.
Everybody who acts was on stage at some point. They all started out in drama in high school.
and then they majored in it in college, that's and they true. All did regional theater. She's an actress who is going on stage to act. What is the big goddamn deal?
Oh, Adam. Well, would listen, you, like, you yeah. go, listen, when you're on stage, there's nothing more courageous. There's yes. nothing more courageous. I heard Kevin Spacey just the other day say, it's like walking a tightrope every night.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I would like to, I'll tell you what I'd like. I'd like to fill in for the Grease Man one day and have everyone talk buzzing about it. What's it like doing some radio? Yes, actress, everybody. That's what they do. It's not that hard. And the fact that they do it on stage and then they make a big deal. Well, doing features is one thing, but a sitcom, it's acting. It's acting. That's what they do. If you do something else, I understand if you're a middle reliever in Major League Baseball and you're going to the Broadway stage.
Right.
Then that's a story. But when an actress goes to Broadway, not news.
Well, you might recall Diddy was in Raisin in the Sun on Broadway.
There's news.
And he was very good.
And not an actor, so right. therefore there's some news, but still an entertainer.
Right.
Arguably.
Just for fun. Do you want to hear a sentence from the New York Times review? Just because sometimes it's fun when big celebrities
mm-hmm.
get slammed. They yes. have way better careers than I could ever dream of. The New York Times wrote that Roberts had the, quote, unyielding stiffness of an industrial lamppost.
Wow.
That's rough.
Not even just a residential lamppost, but industrial-grade right. lamppost. I know I would laugh at other people's horrible reviews, but I have had so many horrible reviews in my short career.
Do you remember any off the top of your head?
Well, there was the one from the Washington Post that basically said I was a werewolf and that I was a creep. And I wasn't good looking enough to be on television. Oh, I think I was the poster child for the new era of anyone can be on TV. And then the minus, I've gotten minus 4 stars and 3 stars. Yes, Dave.
You were also referred to as a braying sports aficionado.
Yes, I've been, they did a review of the new man show and talked about how much better it was than the old man show. And basically call
well,
me
ridiculous.
A brain sports aficionado.
And that the worst, most uncomfortable part of that is that review was written by Brusca.
Were you ever heckled when you were a comedian like that Chinese president who?
Yes, I had that exact woman yell. Yeah. That's right. And I said, hey, this is my job. I don't go to your job over at McDonald's and tell you how to flip patties. And everyone laughed. It's like the one Dave uses.
Donald Trump, who you've spoken to on the show and of whom you are a big fan, mm-hmm. was asked by Entertainment Tonight to give advice to new dad Tom Cruise.
Tom and Katie, congratulations. He needs no advice. He's a really smart guy. He's going to be an amazing father. He already is a great father from everything I hear. So they need no advice.
Don't smoke. You need your lungs.
Smoking sucks.
Sucks.
Get air right out of your lungs.
It's bad.
And you're going to need them for the rest of your life. What? Don't smoke. It kills.
Yeah, and it's better just to see him, too, because he's waving his hands in the air like a madman.
But this is the best thing on these entertainment shows. This is the new thing. When something happens to one celebrity, they go out and solicit the opinion of other celebrities.
Right.
They just had the cat lady, you know, the lady who's had all the plastic surgery.
Yeah, Wildenstein.
What's your reaction to the Cruise Holmes baby? I wish them all the best. Who cares what the cat lady thinks with the Cruise baby?
It's a huge story, and you need a third day lead. So
that's
now you got to ask other people what they think.
That's true. And speaking of big stories, we have exclusive audio tape of the birth.
Yes, that's right.
We played it yesterday and the day before. I think I promise this will be the last time we play it, but I'm delighted with it. I'm in love with it. And I can't believe, I don't know how many bids we've gotten from entertainment sources, but we will sell this thing to the highest bidder.
You've
this
got something called integrity.
Teresa Strasser got exclusive audio tape of the silent birth. Yes, Teresa?
Yep, absolutely. Here in Los Angeles, I'm the only one that has it.
Well, we're the only station that'll play it.
Yep, and because, you know, Cruise's lawyers are scary, but I'm not afraid, so let's hear it.
All right. You're brave. You're a brave woman. Again, exclusive audio footage of Katie Holmes' silent birth. I got to tell you, it's eerie because I could feel Cruise's presence in the room. You know, hold on, Mike.
I could feel, you know what I mean? And here's the thing about me, and this is why I am where I am. This is why I am where I am. It's more than just what meets the ear or the eye. I have a cat-like instinct, a feeling, and I could feel Cruz's presence. I could feel him breathing. Michael, let me finish here. Sorry. I could feel her. I could hear the sound of the child leaving her. I was there. I was there in that room. Yeah, Mike.
I actually didn't have it queued up. I'm really tired today, and I didn't have it ready.
So it didn't play?
No, that was just, I'm off. Sorry. I have it now, though.
Wow.
Jimmy, are you going to yell at him?
Okay. Well, let's just regroup. Okay, play it one more. Now play it for real.
I have it queued up now.
So there was nothing playing?
No.
Oh. Okay, well, it takes a big man to admit when he's wrong, but let's hear it.
I'm tired.
Let's hear it.
It's okay.
Wow, that was different. Yeah. That way, that time, you know, before I said it felt like I was there, this time felt like I was in her womb coming out with the kid. Yeah.
You were covered in placenta.
Braska, would you please sell that? Please get on the internet and see what we can get for that. We'll all be rich. I'm sorry, Teresa. Go ahead.
Okay. Paris Hilton broke the stripper pole that she has installed in her house in Los Angeles here during a party she was throwing for her boyfriend, Stavros Niarchos, or however you say his name.
Listen, I know I have this theory about certain people. I now think she's a performance artist, that this is all just made up, and she's conducting a social experiment on society. It's a heavyset Jewish man who's posing as a slender heiress. This whole Hilton thing. What would you be that surprised if you just found out this was an actress who was doing a social experiment and doing a goof on society?
Like
she's going
pumped.
Out with Boutros Ghali. She breaks the stripper pole. There's the porn movie that gets released onto the... Doesn't it seem like someone has just traveled back in time and is pulling a joke on us? How about this? Maybe she's like an alien being from the future is traveling back, made this crazy amalgamation of everything that was wrong with the Western culture, and is effing with us. And we're all buying into it.
It would be a sublime representation of everything wrong
in one
human being.
Yes, yes. Oh, she crashed her Bentley into a car, leaving a posh Beverly Hills nightclub. You know what I mean? Maybe this is a joke. I'm not going for it. I don't believe she exists.
You think the universe is punking us.
And we're being punked by the future.
And by the way, what kind of tramp has a pole in her house? If a guy has one, that says something else. But I don't like the woman who is too eager to strip for you, so much so that she has a pole ready and waiting for you when you start to date her.
Yeah, right. That's the
I'd
big
rather
thing.
I want the woman who does it on the pole against her will.
I wouldn't mind something. Yeah, I wouldn't mind something smaller, like a stripper stroke cane. You know what I mean? Just something they could steady themselves with when they were stripping, but not swinging around.
Goes too far.
By the way, who installs the stripper pole and doesn't use the correct nails? What are those things called? Those 16-inch
legs? Oh, yes, 16-penny sinkers.
Thank
you wouldn't use that. You would definitely use lag bolts, and you would try to hit a ceiling joist.
Thank
and you would definitely block it off. 16-on centers where those joists are. If I had a stripper pole in my bedroom, I would have a flag ready in case my parents came over. I'm that patriotic, Dad. No, I'm not a slut. I'm a patriot. Look at it. Look at Old Glory. By the way, take your hat off. Okay.
Dad, I'm just a barber.
All right.
Okay. Last story.
Thank you.
It's a little bit disturbing. Mm-hmm. Thank you. A Connecticut nurse was sentenced to 2 years in prison for biting off part of her 25-year-old neighbor's nose. Mm. The two women had been feuding for more than a year over a man. Mm. The judge said he regretted the harsh sentence, but that the victim would be permanently disfigured.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, I guess that'll happen. Although they have a lot of experience working on noses. I mean, if you think about plastic surgeons, if there was a part of you to get effed with, let it be the part they have the most experience with.
Yes. Right. If somebody were to bite off just half of my nose, that would be a good thing. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Hey, UCLA fans, did you enjoy the whole rise of the UCLA Bruins this college basketball season, the run to the Final Four, the return to glory? Well, I hope you did, because it's done with.
Really?
Their two best players, Aaron Aflalo and Jordan Farmar, both say they're going pro.
Those are two good names for you.
Aflalo and Parmar.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Dynamite backcourt. They both say they're going pro, but there's one glimmer of hope. Neither one of them is signed with an agent, so conceivably they could
come
back.
If they don't go in the first round, they'll go back to
UCLA. They don't go high enough, correct. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, could be done for UCLA for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Our national pastime. The Dodgers took the day off. They've earned it. The Halos beat the Twins. Mariners dumped at home by the Rangers. Athletics lost at home to the Tigers. Padres slipped in Petco to the Mets. And the Giants bumped off the Snakes in Arizona. Crazy game. Most noteworthy, though, Barry the Creep Bonds. Didn't even play. No home runs. I love it. But terrible news in baseball, specifically for my fantasy baseball team.
Sure.
Derek Lee, last year's MVP of my world championship fantasy team, broken wrist.
Wow.
Out for 2 months.
Wow.
And broken by his teammate, Rafael Furcal. Yes, he's on the Dodgers in Major League Baseball, but on my fantasy team, teammates!
Well,
one broke the other one's wrist. It's devastating.
It's going to be very somber, the next meeting of the Super Nerds. Yes.
It feels good to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Stanley Cup playoffs begin tonight. 7:30, Anaheim Ducks pay a visit to the Calgary Flames, and the Nashville Predators host the San Jose Sharks and the NHL regular season goal-scoring champ, the finest name in sports, Jonathan
Chichu.
There he is himself saying, Chichu. Tomorrow, our nation's association of pro basketball teams begin their playoffs. It'll be L.A.'s best pro team, the Clips, with a home game, no less, against the Denver Nuggets. 7:30 at the Staples Center, Kings of Sacramento, meantime, down in San Antonio to play the defending world champs. Then on Sunday, 12:30 local time, the Kobe's visit Phoenix, where they'll have to contend with Steve Nash and Sean Marion and, of course, the Gorilla. Who will guard
the gorilla?
Yeah,
I thought that was an ugly racial reference. Yeah, the greatest athlete in sports is the Phoenix Gorilla. By the way, could you pick a worse town to walk around in a gorilla outfit? Dead of winter, 111 degrees, and you're walking around in a gorilla outfit.
Strange choice on a couple of levels, really. First of all, what does the gorilla have to do with the Phoenix Suns?
They're indigenous to that part of the world. There's nothing but those lowland gorillas running around the desert. Sure, they live off cactus and they eat Gila monsters.
And then the other point.
What a horrible outfit! I know. If I was the Phoenix Suns mascot, it would be Underpants Man. Because, like I said, hey, here comes Thong's Underpants guy.
Well, and then the other thing that you pointed out, obviously, might be considered an epithet, no?
What?
A gorilla playing basketball?
Yes. It could be, by lesser people, it could be construed as very incorrect politically. But the other thing is the guy in a full-blown gorilla uniform hits a mini tramp, does a flip, and then does the fi slamma jamma. That's an amazing athlete right there.
Yeah. Now, quickly, some Sexpo talk. You know, they've been trying some of these guys, the Minnesota Vikings, former Vikings running back Mo Williams, guilty of disorderly conduct, they found them up, but not guilty because he groped, apparently, one of the strippers' boobs. You know, he handled them near a bathroom where people could see him. So this is disorderly conduct, but not guilty, indecent conduct or lascivious behavior.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work out? Yeah.
So he exposed other people.
Yes, he's groping, but it's not lascivious behavior or indecent, but it is disorderly.
Well, there's a 400-pound drunken guard who's making his way to the head who just raped another stripper, and you've offended his delicate sensibilities by seeing your hand exactly on the bosom of another.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, quickly, I'd like to give some personal MVP out to my lovely wife, Cindy. She made a corned beef and cabbage in the slow cooker. It was just delicious. Yes. And it's noteworthy. On the other hand, I have to also share the low light, which was earlier this week, we were sitting up on our roof, and all of a sudden, a swarm of bees, like something out of a movie, like a 70s movie starring Shatner or something. Like, all of a sudden, you heard like, ooh, and she said, the bees, the bees. And I looked up, and she said, look, the bees, get in the house. And I looked up, and she was closing the door on me to leave me
outside
to be stung to death.
Wow.
And she was safely inside. Still, gets the MVP in my house. And lastly, I want to share, there's a new movie coming out. It's the Karate Kid of gymnastics. It's a teenage picture.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see that.
It's called Stick It. Listen to this.
Every day, I break the law of gravity.
That was for finals.
Are you kidding me?
It's not called gymnastics. If you're gonna eat that, you eat Matt Hart. Okay, guys, let it rip. Stick it.
Eat Matt. If you eat Matt, you eat it hard.
The director, Stick It, Paul White's coming. Oh, no, that's American Dreams. We're going to bring him in here in a second. Yes, look, as much as I hate those movies, you're talking to a guy who's seen Gymkhana 36 times. So
I expect we'll be there. In the theater the
finally,
day
we have
it
a date.
Out.
We have a date movie.
I'll be there opening day.
Bruska, you're not invited. All right, now, next, the director of American Pie, American Wedding, About a Boy. Boys, one of these movies everyone says is great. I hate to admit to say I haven't seen it, and everyone tells me what a spectacular movie About a Boy is. And now, getting rave reviews for American Dreams. We'll bring him in here. Maybe I'll pitch him one of my movies after this.
Oh, and this one time at band camp, I stuck a flute in my...
Excuse me?
What? You don't think I know how to get myself off? Hell, that's what half of band camp is, sex ed. So, are we gonna screw soon? Because I'm getting kind of antsy.
Like you got a face on. Not what you expected? No. Paul White's is in studio from,
wow,
American Pie.
Thank you, thank you.
Also, American Dreams. That's in theaters now.
Yep.
It's today.
Today, right? Yeah. Actually, I had a weird little brain fart. I thought, "Oh, is it in theaters now?" I thought it came out this weekend, and then I realized today's Friday, so today is the day, right?
Today, yeah. Possibly today only.
We've, by the way, would first want to mention that Leanne Rimes is going to be phoning into the show in a couple of few, and also the great Jimmy Kimmel will make his return to the Adam Carolla Show, like MacArthur returning to the Philippines. Jimmy Kimmel. In studio. What a treat. Have not met the man in person. I hear great things about him, though.
You two are going to hit it off.
Paul, sorry.
No, that's okay.
I didn't mean to digress that way. So tell us about this movie, other than Hugh Grant's in it, and it's a basically a parody of American Idol.
Well, yeah, it's kind of a comedy about American culture. Hugh plays a depressive Simon Cowell-esque TV variety show host. Dennis Quaid plays a George W.-esque president who, on his re-election, decides to read the paper for the first time in 4 years, and this causes him to kind of have a nervous breakdown. His handler, played by Willem Dafoe, in full-on Cheney wig and makeup.
Really?
Yeah. Books him to be a guest host on the show, and on the show, the two sort of favorite contestants are Mandy Moore and a show tune singing bumbling terrorist named Omer, who has made his way to the finale and has to decide whether he's going to go through with his mission and blow up the guest judge, or whether he has a chance to be a star.
I hear the Middle Eastern guys are the funniest highlight of the movie in the comedy department.
They're awesome. It's really fun taking people who have done absolutely nothing and putting them in scenes with Hugh Grant and Dennis Quaid and seeing if they choke or not. But they were awesome.
Yeah, how do you do that? How do you find guys who, you know, there's not a whole lot of, I imagine there's not a whole lot of song and dance guys from the Middle East. I mean, do you have an open call?
There's a surprising number. I just went down to the Middle Eastern Musical Theater place right down the street on Wilshire. And,
you went to the Kabbalah Cabaret,
yeah.
And just found them?
Yeah, I just picked the best, basically. It's like Russian roulette casting when it's you're not casting stars, you basically audition people.
I was wondering about this. You know, there's a pattern with some of your, you have Hugh Grant from The Great, as Ace said, he didn't see About a Boy, but I love About a Boy.
Thanks, man.
Now you have him again in this. Then you have Dennis Quaid from In Good Company. Now he's repeated. Now, so you like to work with certain actors, but does this create then when you run into some of the actors that you don't use again?
Right, does Tara Reid go,
when's my turn again?
Tara Reid's like, I could have been in American Dreams.
I've got them slotted in for like 3 pictures from now. And
that's your refrain, at least, you tell them?
When as actors you're familiar with, like Hugh and Dennis, it's like dogfighting, basically. You know, you know their tendencies, and you just pit them against each other.
I've never met either one of these guys in real life or Defoe, how much different are they? Do you know? Are they? Do they seem off stage as they are on stage?
Well, I think Hugh is getting closer and closer to his real personality and what he's playing. I mean, he's sort of created this character in Four Weddings and a Funeral of this, like, sweet, bumbling guy, and he is totally far from that. He's a cynical, depressive dude who's right. also really funny and really, he would barf, but he's a really good guy.
Oh, really?
And Dennis is he's been through a lot, and he's a really good guy and kind of intimidating. Like, he's really gruff on set. I don't know if it's because he like doesn't want people to talk to him or something. But he's a really good guy once you hang out with him.
Sort of like his character in Caveman.
Fruska says Quaid owes him an apology, by the way. He's never met the man, but he doesn't like the way he handles himself on set. Also heard some weeks back that he had some sort of eating disorder or something like that.
No, I mean, he made a joke, which was that when he was dieting for Wyatt Earp, where I think he weighed 75 pounds, he had manorexia, and that got picked up by all the media outlets. And he's actually now the poster child for manorexia.
Let me pitch you a few things. Paul White's, by the way, in here, the director, writer of... we do have a clip of the movie. I see. Huh? Well, no, Mike says maybe we don't.
Did someone pirate it from one of the theaters that is playing it?
I just wonder... Story
Stompers.
Oh, here it is,
yes. The swinginest psycho gang there is. Their mama's wilder... They're loving freer, crowding a lifetime of living into now, causing the most violent psycho war ever to hit the screen. When the black souls turn white slavers,
it's incredible. This is Hugh Grant, isn't it? No one has seen him like this before.
American Dreams in theaters today. No, we have an actual clip. Yes.
You shall be.
Black. This is Dennis.
This is Black Guy. Yeah.
The Black Avenger, rising from his tomb to fill the night with horror.
All right, I've heard enough.
Quaid's playing a black man. That is a stretch.
I was saying that Paul Weitz, who's in studio, is not only written and directed, been responsible in some way for many huge comedies, but also touching comedies like About a Boy and soon American Dreams out, American Wedding, and American Pie. I have pitches. I have ideas. I'd like to break in to features myself.
You should go for it.
Yeah. Perhaps with your help, I could do this.
Let's hear them.
I have a few. But I'm trying to think. Now, do we want to do some of the ones I've already done, or do we want to do some new ones?
Well, I feel like you're... I don't want to give anything away, but mm-hmm. you want about the spotter. Might really appeal to him. He's made some teenage pictures before. Mm. That might be nice.
I'm looking for teen pictures.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, then dig on this, Daniel. Now, this guy, I play... Oh, we got to take a break. All right, I'll tell you what. We will take a break, and then I'll come back, and I'll pitch to you the spotter. Yeah. And by you don't know from the title what it is.
No. That's bringing up all sorts of unsavory images. But
maybe the guy works at a lighthouse.
Guy? Okay.
We don't know. Yes. Paul White's in studio. American Dreams, his movie, out in theaters starting today. Take a quick break. Jimmy Kimmel coming up. Leanne Rimes coming up, Jesse Jane from Playboy coming up, all after this.
And now, Oswaldo reads the 100 greatest movie quotes of all time. Number 5, from Casablanca.
Here, looking, and you kid.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Paul White's in studio, director of American Dreams. Lights with a Z, Dreams with a Z, coincidence?
As a connection.
In theaters, as we speak, also director, American Pie, or writer, or both, American Pie 2, American Wedding, About a Boy, best movie I've never seen.
Let's keep it that
way. It's good, in good company. We have a clip.
Okay, well, here's I believe it's a clip. I don't know why it's this clip, but I'm excited for everyone to hear it. It's Seth Meyers, who's on Saturday Night Live, is playing Mandy Moore's new agent.
All right, let's hear that.
Do you know that the female breast, known to be the source of life since Eve?
The incredible thing is that's Mandy, that's not Seth.
Wow.
She's a better actress than you think.
Deadly weapons.
What's the matter?
Nick, talk!
That lying son of a bitch!
She avenged her lover's death were the only weapon she had. See the biggest event in the history of motion pictures. Deadly Weapons.
You know what I like? Those movies were made when acting was acting, when you were supposed to act.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, well, we're not supposed to know you're acting.
You
we're
don't
supposed
see enough
to
acting
know.
Nowadays.
And even when they fired guns, it wasn't enough that they squeezed the trigger. They shook the gun at the person they were shooting.
That's just in case they're it doesn't get released from the chamber.
You get a little extra muzzle velocity if you move your arm toward the guy you're shooting. There, take that. Yeah. You had to act, even squeezing a trigger back
I'm always,
then.
That's the only direction I give is bigger, bigger.
More.
Louder.
Yes. Bigger. Yes.
Faster, funnier.
All right, let's hear the actual clip. I'm sorry.
I think you're really talented, and you have a chance to win this whole thing.
A chance? She's going to win it all, mister.
Mom, shut up. Go on, Chet Krogel.
Thank you. I know she's going to win, Martha. That's why I'm representing her. But winning American Dreams isn't just about talent. You have to have a story. Now, the whole poor white trash thing is great.
Well, we're not white trash.
No, 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 no. Of course not. Of course not. But it doesn't hurt to imply that you are. Look what it's done for Britney Spears.
I love Mandy Moore, by the way.
Yes, although that was mostly Jennifer Coolidge, Stifler's mom from American Pie.
Yeah, I remember her from way back in the days over at the Groundlings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coolidge, and she's really, it's funny, she has parlayed and carved out a nice career for herself playing sort of crazy moms.
The Legally Blonde best friend of Reese Witherspoon, that's her, right?
Yes. No.
Yes, it is.
No, it is? The best friend of Reese Witherspoon?
In Legally Blonde, yeah, isn't she
a hairdresser.
Hairdresser.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant one of her contemporary friends.
No, becomes her best friend.
Not her teenage
her
friends.
Her sorority roommate.
Right.
American Dreams, huge reviews, though. I'm looking at them now. American Entertainment Weekly, Chicago Sun-Times, USA Today.
Well, let me pitch, Paul, your next winner.
Okay, The Spotter.
The Spotter. Thank you for remembering the title.
Huh? Well, we're going to plug The Spotter.
A lot of guys.
Rush out and see it. It's
important.
In theaters today.
Well, no, not yet. Not yet. Just open yourself up. That's
I'm
all
making
I'm asking.
A preemptive bid right here.
I'm asking for an audience. You know what I mean? I don't need you to sign anything. Just open your soul. You know what I'm saying?
Here. I'm prostrate.
All right. Here's the story. And you're looking for something that's gonna speak to the young audience. I think this is it. The Spotter. I play. Do we have any music? I play Brav Moxie, one of the greatest collegiate. Nah, this doesn't have enough soul. I need something with more soul. This is way too. This is Ronald Reagan, 1941. I need something a little more soul. Nothing? You got no music? You have music for everything. Play the kind of music would play background.
How about a human boombox?
I don't remember what the pitch is.
Oh, just play something that sounds like
NFL film.
Sounds like you don't remember The Spotter.
No.
All right.
Oh, are you going to hear about it from Brusk after the show?
By the way, sometimes pitches are actually purchased in the room, right?
It's true.
Mm-hmm. All right, this works. This is good. This is good. I'm sorry. Let's shake the Etch-A-Sketch and start new, Paul. No, physically shake an Etch-A-Sketch.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, now, I play Brav Moxie. Okay? Great collegiate college spotter, cheerleading spotter. Okay? But after disaster, the Tulane pyramid collapse in 93, where 1,200 co-eds were killed. It was a huge pyramid, not one of these pussy eight manners. This is the entire student body and faculty creating a huge, actually bigger than a full-size, full-scale pyramid. They collapsed. I'm the spotter. I'm supposed to be protecting these kids, and I blame myself. And I never get over it. And even though they tell me, hey, Brav, man, that wasn't your fault. There's nothing you could do. I do that thing where I grab him by the collar, you know, and I go, damn it. There's a woman in a wheelchair. Tell her.
Is it false not coming out of the nose weeping, or is it just tears in the eyes?
One bubble in the right nostril.
Okay, good. I'm with you then.
Okay. And a tear in the left eye. And I do that thing. Tell that to the little girl who's propelling her wheelchair with a straw. You know what I'm saying? I know it doesn't sound funny, but it starts getting there.
No, it is. I can't laugh over that.
Now I take it on the road. Shame. I do that thing where I start hitchhiking and turn my collar up and hitchhike. You know what I mean? That means I don't want to be known, but I need a ride. You know, and I turn the collar up and I'm on the road, like David Banner from The Incredible Hulk. Take it on the road, okay? And now I just float from cheerleading camp to cheerleading camp, but I won't spot again, even though I'm the best.
Right. Are you ever arrested for hanging out by these cheerleading camps?
No, because I get jobs. I get menial jobs there, just floating.
Okay, you're like the janitor.
I'm janitor. Right. I'm mopping the floor. And once in a while, there's that scene where the young hot spotter, who doesn't know I'm the best, I'm the Michael Jordan spotter, says,
cocky.
You know, hey, janitor over here. Hey, Gatman, you missed the spot. And he laughs. And then somebody tells me,
the soul of the team has to point him out.
That's Prof Mox. Do you know who that is? That's Prof Mox, one of the greatest spotters after the Tulane incident. You know, so it goes on that way. Now, eventually, and it also, there's a lot of scenes where I see what's going on. I see somebody's not spotting correctly, and I'll slide in and help. Sort of like in The Fugitive, when Harrison Ford got to the hospital and that little black kid was going into cardiac arrest. He fixed him in the elevator real quick and then moved on. Didn't want anyone to notice. Okay, now the love interest. This is a woman. I haven't cast her yet, but she's beautiful, but she's a quad.
A quad, all right.
She's in a wheelchair because she was injured in a pyramid collapse. Okay?
Maybe Mandy Moore.
Oh, maybe Mandy Moore. Do you think she could not move her arms and legs for a few moments at a time?
It would take incredible directing.
You're just that man.
Possibly. Is Brav Moxie an Orthodox Jew or no?
No.
Okay.
Why? Well, Moxie sounds Jewish.
Sounds vaguely Orthodox Jew.
Yeah, it could have been Moxenberg or something. Yeah.
Right.
Moxowitz. Yeah, shortened
it. Ellis Island, Dave.
Yeah, no Jew would ever spot. Doesn't work. Although the Amica would offer some protection if there was a pyramid collapse. Let's not digress. The point is I fall in love with what was one of the greatest cheerleaders of our time, who's now confined to a wheelchair. And, of course, the crescendo comes when I ask her to get back on top of the pyramid. She has to shake off the ghost. She's got to get back on top of that pyramid. I will lower her down via cherry picker, but we will get her, minus the wheelchair, or perhaps with the wheelchair, on top of that pyramid one more time, but only if I'll spot again. And I explain I can't do it, and then there's a moment, we break apart, and eventually he does, and it collapses, and I save her, and as I set her down, she has use of her legs again.
That's awesome. Listen, I hate
the
to say
spotter.
This, but this is exactly like something I've been developing, which I'm going to be going into production next year.
Paul, no.
That happens a lot.
Really? It's not just one of these things where you're thinking, this is a great idea.
No.
I'm going to.
My heart was sinking as you were pitching it because I was like, this is exactly
you really
what
already
next
have
year.
This.
Yeah.
I mean, identical.
Really
identical.
I mean,
wow.
Down to the Tulane Pyramid, down to the quad that gets lowered back on top of the pyramid.
But, you know, anything else that you have.
Wow. Well, that's kind of it.
That's it.
So this has been, how long have you been working on this? I mean, I'm not accusing you, but I'm just, it does sound kind of convenient.
You're going to have to talk to my lawyers.
Are there other
I'm just having
movies?
A conversation. I feel like, I mean, Dave,
mine's
you heard
called,
me talk about this when we're over Kimmel. There's precedent here.
There was a lot of brainstorming going on in here over the last couple of minutes. I don't remember who had what idea.
But you heard me talk about the spotter, not by title, but well, back a couple years ago.
Mine's called Pyramid of Hope.
Wow.
Well, I don't want to make anything uncomfortable, I think Paul really had the bulk of the ideas. Paul, I can play the Brown Moxie character.
That would be so. That'd be excellent just to be in theaters a year and a half from now. And you just see Dennis Quaid in his Brav Moxie and he's yelling at a beautiful woman in a wheelchair to get back. All right. Paul Weitz, thank you for playing along.
Thanks for having me.
American Dreams, everybody. In theaters. A blockbuster starting today.
The first blockbuster of the year, probably, yes?
The only blockbuster of the year.
That's right, my friends. In theaters, as we speak, starting today. Jimmy Kimmel coming in here. Leon Rimes going to be phoning in. Jesse Jane from Playboy going to be coming in. All that coming up.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jimmy Kimmel has found his way to the studio. The Magellan of late night comedians. He's only been here 9 times and he got lost.
I don't know how it happens, but it happens every time.
I did notice one time when we were leaving your driveway many years ago and heading to my house, you turned the opposite direction of my house, and I thought, wow. Yeah, I'm telling you, if down was an option, you would steer your car into the earth.
You know what it is? I have a lot of things on my mind, and sometimes I get confused. You wouldn't be amazed. I was practically at the beach.
You are usually hits the water. You're lucky, though, Jimmy, because you're a smart guy, and when smart guys do stupid things, it's only because they're a genius and they have so much on their mind.
I think it's mostly because almost everyone I know works for me, so there's really no ramifications whatsoever.
Yeah, who's going to call it to the boss man's attention? Unless Brusca is in your employment, in which case he has no qualms about bringing things up to the folks
that
pay his bills.
I assume it's 60 seconds and counting until Kimmel gets what for from Brusca.
Oh, you were lost. Oh, really? You don't have a map.
Where were you? We got Leanne Rimes waiting on the phone.
Speaking Kimmel of, leaves here in tears, I bet.
Speaking of Leanne Rimes, by the way, she is waiting on the phone. Leanne?
Hi.
Hi, Leanne Rimes.
How are you?
Good. Special treat for you. Jimmy Kimmel has entered the studio.
Oh, he's so hot.
Sometimes people get me confused with Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. Not only can she sing, but a comedian. This Woman, name of the album. Speaking of hot, by the way, Leanne, and I'm sure I'm a day late and a dollar short with this compliment, but always cute, but after shedding the baby fat some years back, has gone super smoking hot.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it happens. You know, when you grow up in the public eye for the last decade, it happens. Things start to develop and change and things shift and I start working out and now I look like I do, so.
Well, you went the right direction.
Thanks.
Are you watching American Idol, by the way? Do you have a favorite?
I'm not a huge American Idol fan. Of course, I don't really watch TV very much, but I have happened to catch a couple of,
Hold on, we have nothing left to talk about. I'm sorry, I can't stand it. Doesn't watch TV, Leanne?
I'm working.
Well, you can bring a TV with you.
Oh, okay.
Nice little set on stage.
Oh, yes. No, but I have caught a couple episodes this time around, and I find it very amusing. It was funny. There's some people that are really, really interesting. You kind of wonder how they got on the show.
Oh.
You know?
Interesting.
It was interesting. I'm like, it's a crazy way to become a superstar to me. It's all of a sudden.
Let me blow a little more smoke your direction. If you're Paula Abdul and your whole act is sort of your act, that's one thing. You really don't have the pipes. But Leanne Rimes, I mean, you at age 12 could probably sing most of these people under the table. So obviously you're looking through it through a little different prism than most of us. I mean, you were a sort of a prodigy and you have the pipes.
Well, Leanne Rimes, who are these people that you're talking about that don't deserve to be there?
Well, I don't know the guy's name, but he was quite interesting. He got kicked off like pretty quickly.
Glasses?
Yes.
Kevin Kovas.
Yeah.
Oh, I like him.
He was adorable, and he was funny, and like he was interesting to watch. But when you're looking for the next American Idol, like, how?
Well, when did you begin your career? How old were you?
I started on stage when I was 5.
She was known as the singing fetus.
Wow.
Basically.
Wow, I think it was zygote.
I came out screaming pretty much. But,
you started at 5?
I started at 5 on stage, and then I had my record deal when I was 11 and my first single when I was 13.
So you had to struggle a long time before you made it.
I did.
You paid your dues.
Hey, when you start working on stage at 5, you pretty much, I mean, that's a long time. I was working on it from the time I was a baby, basically.
Do we have a little Leanne Rimes we can cue up? Leanne is going to be, hold your ears, Kimmel. Leanne's going to be on Leno tonight.
Oh, no.
Sucking up the joint.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not going to be any good.
No, not at all.
Dear friend.
Yeah, try to throw it if you would, Leanne. That'd be nice.
I will.
Yeah, make it pitchy.
Yeah, really freak out. See if you can drop the N-word a few times.
Now, save that for my show.
And do that on Kimmel's show, but as they drag you off the stage, just go Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Kimmel, 12-6, 12-6, 12-6.
Jimmy Kimmel's better. Jimmy Kimmel's better.
Yeah, it would be. It would be a great move. It would make all the tabloids, make all the papers, and the entertainment shows.
Huge. It would blow me up even more.
Nothing better than a racial slur to promote your album, especially in the world of
country
music.
It's true.
Wholesome fun.
Leanne's very nice. Really, a very very nice person. And it's interesting because she did start as a very young performer, and that usually doesn't go well. In fact, you could count on one hand the instances in where it went well. It's pretty much Ron Howard, and maybe that might be it.
Britney Spears? Britney Spears was a mouse.
Yeah, well, yeah, meanwhile, she's got her baby on the hood of the car she's driving around.
Is that bad?
I don't know that one's working out
too
well.
You got Frankie Muniz, who's ditched the entire acting thing altogether to become a race car driver.
Yeah.
Not sure to go well.
Really?
You go through the list. It's not a good list. I mean,
It doesn't usually, you know, lead to nice people and normal people. It usually leads to, you know, drug addicts and just kind of everybody loses their money. They spend it on crazy stuff. I don't know.
Yes. First thing you do is fire your manager, who's your dad, at age 13, and then it's straight to rehab. How did you avoid those pitfalls, Leanne?
Well, I mean, I've had a few of my own, I think, obviously, because it's something that is kind of unavoidable as you grow up in the music business or in any kind of business as a kid. But I think it was my parents. I mean, my parents kind of, I had a great upbringing and they always knocked me back down a little bit if I ever, let my head go a little too far off my body.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
No, I'm an only child.
Oh, thank God. Because all you need is some loser, lackey, bitter, drunken brother. Do you need a loser, lackey, bitter, drunken brother? I could play that role.
I could call you anytime. I'm sure you'd be right there.
Yeah, my sister's just a housewife. I'm looking for a celebrity. I show up. I do that thing where I need to crash on your sofa, and then you find your prescription meds are missing. And then me and your husband square off.
Or rather than asking Leanne for rent money, you just kind of come stay for a few days. And then she's like, well, what's going on with your place? Like, oh, you know, and then she gives you, like, you know, $2,100 to send you on your way.
Right. And I have an idea for a chicken franchise, and I need just a few bucks to get it off the ground. And I brought my guitar. I got a couple of songs. I just want you to hear me out.
Well, Jimmy, maybe you could pawn Fat Tad off on Leanne Rimes if she's looking for to take on.
I don't think she wants that. I really don't.
No.
Hey, Leanne, I want to give a quick plug to your organization or what you're doing. You're selling these coins at your shows, right? Salute to American Heroes.
It's for Salute the Heroes. You can go on to salutetheheroes.org to find out more information about it. But at our shows, we sell these coins, basically, that it's what, you know, the military guys get when they do something amazing in their field. And they're coins with they actually made them with my logo on it. And all of the proceeds go to Salute the Heroes. And it's Salute the Heroes, they take seriously wounded soldiers and reintegrate them back into society. So it's an incredible organization.
So the money that'll be raised from the sale of these coins at your concerts will go to wounded veterans.
Yes.
I'm against that. I got to be honest with you.
I have one of those coins. They're pretty cool because I went over to Germany to the Air Force base there, and they gave me one of these coins. And it's not just a coin. It's like a whole, it's almost a medallion.
Like a gold medal.
And the cool thing about it, I find interesting, is that if one of the other soldiers finds you, they can whip their coin out. And if you do not have yours with them or with you, you actually have to go buy them a drink.
You have to buy everyone in the whole place around.
Oh,
if
really?
You don't have your coin with you,
got to get one of these coins.
I find that pretty cool.
Well, that's nice. God bless you. And by the way, you know, I watch all these shows about wounded veterans and stuff, and not to make light of it, but there's never been a better time to be a wounded veteran. These guys get the prosthetic legs, they're skiing, they're out living life.
They are out living life. They have so many wonderful things now that they can, you know, it's just medicine has changed so much, and it's the one thing that, you know, thank God we have all of these great technology now to help these veterans.
But it costs a lot of money.
It does cost a lot of money, and therefore we're raising money any way we can.
All right. How much are these coins, by the way?
I'm not sure.
Is it a donation?
Selling for. We're about to, I don't know if it's a donation. I think they might be $5. The thing is basically what we're selling them for. And then all of the proceeds go. And I think you can donate money also.
A small price to pay, I would say.
Exactly. I mean, it's $5.
Jimmy is too modest to talk about it on the radio. That's his way. you know, his thing is misdirection. It's not talking about himself. But I will say that after he got back from Ramstein, which was my porn name, the Air Force Base in Germany, he told me that he got one of these Leanne Rimes coins, medallions, oversized coins, put it in his breast pocket. Then, on the way back to the C-130 out on the makeshift tarmac, there was incoming. He hit the dirt. There was some shrapnel from a scatter bomb that had been dropped nearby. It was heading toward his heart, and that this coin saved him from a certain death.
Weirdest thing was, we're in Germany, it was the Viet Cong.
That's right.
Charlie Company was right there in Hamburg.
That's right. He was eating some schnitzel on the Mekong Delta when it all came undone.
Oh, you got your coin. I'm so glad I saved your life.
All right. All right, Leanne. Leanne is going to be on a show tonight that is not Kimmel's. I will not say the name. You can do the math. This woman is the name of the album. And go out and buy these coins. It's a salute to American heroes. The money all goes to the wounded veterans.
Can I ask Leanne again, how do I buy one of these coins?
You can go on saluteheroes.org or my website, rhymestimes.com, or come out to our concert. You'll have a great time, and you can buy one there.
Thanks, Leanne.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Jimmy Bye. Kimmel in studio. We'll take a quick break. We'll be with Jimmy.
Yeah, I have a lot to say, so let's get to it.
Uh-oh. Jessie Chain is coming in. She doesn't have much to say, but that's all right. She'll get naked. So she'll come in, and we'll be right back after this.
Communications.
Is this the cable company?
Yes, it is.
What the hell kind of programming are you putting on these channels?
We're not putting any kind of programming on the channels.
Well, I saw
the
something.
The channels are putting that on.
I just saw something that made me want to crap.
Sir, you do not have to talk to me like that.
I saw this program with these sick puppet things making calls to people with dirty voices and dirty talk.
Okay, but we're not the ones that make the decision as to what's on TV.
And let me tell you something, honey. I love to get together and watch some nice, wholesome TV with you one day and show you my private parts.
Well, I don't think that'll happen.
Okay, then.
Okay.
You have a good night,
you
darling.
You too.
Okay, good night.
Little vintage crank anchors for you. That, of course, Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy, give Thank a you. Shot of that voice, just so people don't think it's put through some sort
One
of...
One time, me and Big Tad were hiking through the desert. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was riding them like a beast. His body became slick, and I kept falling off. I'd slide on him because his flesh is greasy.
Yes, Jimmy Kimmel, everybody. Jimmy Kimmel Live, weeknights, 12:05.
We have Regis on the show tonight.
Yes.
It's really 12:06, but we like people to be there early.
Sure. Regis Philbin on tonight. Also, Barry Watson from that new TV show that everyone's talking about. Is that Brian?
What about Brian? Yeah,
everyone says it's a great show.
It is good. He's a nice guy. Yeah.
He's the Seventh Heaven guy, I do believe. Speaking of these shows, by the way, we're going to have Michael Rosenbaum in here from Smallville. He's Lex Luthor.
Yeah, he's that pretty boy with the shaved head from Smallville.
Right, yeah. He was in here last week. He's not claimed to be the king of the 80s movie.
Let me say this. If you're listening, Michael, you're not going to be so pretty after Kimmel is done making short work of you with 80s music trivia. All right, I kind of ran out of steam there, but you knew the direction I was heading.
I appreciate you sticking up for me.
Anytime,
but I am good. I mean, anybody that knows me knows that I can identify an 80s song within maybe not even seconds of hearing the beginning of it.
That's
right.
We'll see, mister. When you two square off.
There's a choice that needs to be made in a young teenage boy's life. There's two directions. It's a road. It's a fork in the road. Right. Mm-hmm. Do you remember 80s music, or do you get laid? Kimmel, obviously, took the road to the right-hand side.
That's the thing is that, for me, it stores up so much of my brain that I know I could have used it on something really useful, and yet it's all in there, cluttering everything.
Right, displacing important information.
Well, Big Tad, who Jimmy and I both agree is one of the dumber people we've ever met, yet has a savant-like, Rain Man-like gift for 80s music trivia as well.
He does.
Is Will be a nice? We decided he's not obviously the main event. It's you and Rosenbaum who's off in Vancouver shooting something.
He's pretty good, Rosenbaum.
A couple weeks from now, there will be a clash of the Titans.
But like any great heavyweight champion, you need a tune-up fight.
That's right.
You need to do a little sparring, shake off a little of the ring rust. We'll set you up with a tomato can.
Tad's my butter bean.
That's right. Yeah, the butter bean knocks out a lot of people, too.
All right.
Yeah. Look at Rocky.
Tad, like I said, Tad takes his lumps on this show, but he does know 80s music.
Tad is a lump on this show.
That's a good point. All right, so what are the rules, first off? We will play, obviously, snippets of 80s songs. You guys will chime in. Tad, you have the train whistle.
Let me make a proposal, because Tad isn't capable of thought. What we should do is this. Mike, you're going to play the song, right? Mike plays the song. Either one of us can say stop.
Uh-huh.
When we have it, that leaves the other one at a disadvantage to try to figure out what the song is. And then we write it down, because if we start saying it, you know, if you say the artist, the other one can easily wind up finishing the title.
But well, Tad doesn't read or write.
That's a good
yes,
point.
Yes, I do.
Well, Tad can make symbols with his feet.
Yeah, you do. Tap one hoof once for Duran Duran. This could take a while. All right, so if you stop and write it down, then do you both hold it up simultaneously?
No, then when we're done, we read it.
The person
we have it on the card, yeah.
First so you conceivably first. Could have a tie. If you both get it right, then you both get a point.
Yeah, there would probably be many ties, okay. Yes.
So well, you're removing speed from the equation then?
No, not at all. Not at all.
But listen, as a football coach once told me, a Pop Warner coach, tying is like raping your sister. At least that's what I remember. If we have too many ties,
let's just
be
try it. Let's just give it
all right,
a
we'll try. We'll try it on one. If it doesn't work, we'll do the chime in and shout out method. All right. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Are you poised?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mike, here we go.
Stop. Howard Jones, no one is to blame.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Out of
wow.
The gate, red hot.
Whoa.
Wow. Sorry, Tad.
One could argue that Kimmel saw the reflection of the computer monitor from Brusca's greasy forehead. That's my theory. I got to tell you, you know what that was?
What?
That was a guy who you stepped out into the center ring.
Tad's still working on the H.
8 seconds into the fight and just clocked you with a haymaker and sent you to one knee before the fight even started.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was like a young Mike Tyson. Yeah.
Wow, that's
probably got it right here.
That's like when the ref says, touch up the gloves, and it hurts your hands in the center of the ring. Wow.
Let's do another one.
Yeah, let's do it. Now.
People may think it's fixed, but I am astonishingly fast with
you
this.
Are. Not, that was incredible.
And you've been boning up, something Tad hasn't done in over 2 years, as we've discovered from this show. All right, let's go for round two.
Stop. It's Mike and the Mechanics. Keep going. Sorry. Ooh. Keep going. Do you know what that?
No.
No. Okay, keep going. I don't want to. Yeah. It's Micah Mechanics. Oh, wait a minute. I'm confused. I don't know why.
Come on, Tad.
It can't be Micah Mechanics. It didn't even exist until the 90s.
No, that's not true. Yeah, it's All I Need is a Miracle,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
That's what I thought it was, but. Sorry, Tad.
Come on, buddy.
Tad wrote down Mike after I said Mike.
Well, I did, but I'm just all I need is a miracle.
All right, let's do another one. Let's keep going. Rapid face.
I kind of like that song, I hate to admit. All right, here we go.
Oh, Madonna, Material Girl.
Come on, Tad. Tad, hold on.
He didn't say stop.
You know what? There's nothing anyone writing down because these are going to go too fast.
I'm gonna give Tad an easy out. Usually about 8:30, he pulls up cud, and his mouth is busy chewing on it. Tad, have you drawn cud from your seventh stomach, or are you just that far out of it?
Just say yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right, Tad. Hey, Tad. Let's go,
do
baby.
A few more.
Well, he is my boss, so I got to make him look good for a little bit.
We'll win one. Let's go. Here we go.
Stop. Oh, they're stepping out, Joe Jackson.
Okay, wait.
Yes. Tad got that one. No. What did you say, Tad? Did you say stepping out?
No, said, no, stop. He told us to say stop. He told us to say stop first and then say it.
The rules have changed.
It's now game on. That's a takey. We'll give you a mulligan.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Next one.
Huey Lewis.
I want to need
a drug. It's not fair, though, because I went fishing with Huey Lewis for a week, and it's not fair to Tad.
And Rose. You played this all over and over again while you were fishing with him?
I wanted to, but he wasn't so into it.
All right.
All right. Another one. Oh, this is A Touch of Grey, Grateful Dead.
Oh, Tad. This is... you know what? I'm this close to enacting the slaughter rule.
Is there a mercy rule, like in baseball?
Yeah.
And you got any poison in there or slaughter? Or?
Speaking of the slaughter rule, though, I just want to say, apropos to nothing, what's going to be more psychologically damaging to your young child that's playing Little League? Being beaten 22-7 or having someone intervene and yell, we're now going to implement the slaughter rule?
This is too sad to continue.
Yes. And then you let them get beat.
I say
Mike,
so,
Mike, fire
too.
Up another one. Oh, this is Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now, Jefferson Starship.
Wow. Wow.
It's just Starship.
Oh, I'll give you a pass on that. Wow. Jimmy, a zone. Such a zone he's in. Do we have more?
Our House Madness.
Tad.
I had
You're now officially less than useless around here. You were useless 10 minutes ago. Now you're in the negative.
Come on. Sorry, Tad. I know I can get one.
If you got me a cup of coffee right now, you'd be up to even. You would be up to a zero.
I'll get one of these, I promise.
Here we go.
I'm all right, Kenny Loggins.
All right, I'm going to enact the slaughter rule.
I'm having fun here.
I'm now officially the fat dad and the blue windbreaker is taking the field. And said no more.
And by the way, Damashek said, I don't know, Kimmel. I don't think you have a chance against this Michael Rosenbaum.
Mm-hmm.
And that enraged me, I have to say.
He was exceptional when he was in here last week. I wish you nothing but the best. And by the way.
But how can you top that?
Do we have another one?
The Howard this Jones thing was incredible.
It was very impressive.
Thank you.
Tad, do you
wait?
Tears for Fears. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Wait a minute. I didn't know the song was coming.
Bite me!
I will bite you. How would you like that if I actually bite you? Come here.
Ow! Tastes like gravy, though, right?
He's delicious.
Hold on. Ryan's on the phone. Ryan?
How's it going, Adam?
You're an ex-security guard for Win Ben Stein's money?
Yeah.
Oh, you're the guy who would never let us in.
Yeah.
It's a great thing. I worked on that show for what, like 4.5 years? I had to introduce myself to the security team every single day.
Yeah.
My favorite part is,
Jimmy?
Is
how you doing?
Asking the name three times.
I have a piece of Tad's hair in my teeth from biting him.
I'll send it to the lab.
What's happening, Ryan?
Oh, not much. Just working. I heard Jimmy on, and I wanted to call and say, how's it going? I actually met him when I was working on Win Ben Stein's Money.
Yeah, right, when I was trying to get in. Adam, do you remember coming to visit me at that show? And
yes,
really...
I would marvel at the folks on that lot, because every security guy acts like you're trying to get into his bedroom, and it's Sunday at 4 a.m. They don't act like they work on a lot where people work. What are you doing here? First, they're confused. What is this? Something with four wheels, an iron horse is pulled up, and they want entrance? Hold on a second. And then they do that thing where they go, what's your name? Very suspiciously, it's Adam Carolla. Hold on. And then the guy gets on the phone, and then 10 seconds later says, what's your name again, Carolla? And then he checks the list and says, what's your name for a third time? And eventually gets disgusted with you and lets you onto the lot. Shouldn't you know if you're sitting in a guard shack in front of a place that has 75 or 175 parking places where people go to work, that people are going to eventually come on and off the lot? Always a surprise. I like that.
One would think, yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel is in studio. Tad?
Great catching up with Ryan, though.
Yeah.
Kimmel, by the way, let me just say this. I'm not saying that you can't beat Michael Rosenbaum.
I would hope not. I would hope not, because I don't know how you could top that performance.
Well, it was very impressive, but there's one factor that you're not considering, that there may be some pressure based on whatever the bet is. We have yet to determine the stakes.
Mm-hmm. And the stakes, to me, are pride. I mean, there doesn't necessarily have to be. If you want me to take something from this young man who was nice enough to come in as a guest, then fine, I will take something from him. But it doesn't... necessary. It really, just the pride of winning is enough. I mean, you remember the old days?
He was, but let me just say something to you. He was very impressive last week. He got them like this, and you didn't get any. You were on the phone, you said.
I couldn't hear
anything. It was in my backyard on a cordless phone.
What do you mean
I didn't get any? That's not true either. And I even identified that Blaze of Glory as a non-90s
song.
That's
true. Yes, that's true. Yeah.
That's the one I didn't get, a 980s song, right?
Damashek, what are you doing?
And Adam, I want to talk about
here. Let me ask this very quickly, though, Kimmel. Yeah. Has Lex Luthor, has Michael Rosenbaum been on your television show?
He has not, no.
Perhaps. That's an interesting gift. Perhaps he comes on the show. Maybe that's part of the stage.
Sure.
Comes on and gives a nice plug to Smallville. And in return, maybe you do a guest spot on Smallville. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here. Yes, Jimmy, you were going to say.
I can play like Salami Man or something who comes into Superman's life. And
he doesn't
know if he's good or evil. No, you don't know because like salami, it tastes so good. And yet it's terrible for you.
Right. And you don't know what it's made of.
Yes.
Jimmy, you were saying, I'm sorry.
I don't remember. Who knows? Oh, I was just saying, there's some talk, I'm not going to say who mentioned this to me, but it was Dave, that perhaps, I haven't seen you in a while, Adam. Mm-hmm. In fact, I called you this weekend and invited you to come by the house. Apparently, you've been occupied with, I don't know, hanging around with maybe another talk show host?
Leanne Rimes and myself have an affinity for automobiles and late night comedy. Yeah, I may have seen Leno over the weekend. I can't remember.
This past weekend?
This weekend?
I travel with all, I see a lot
our
of celebrities.
Weekend?
Hold on a second.
On our weekend!
He still smells of Leno.
Hold on right one second. Hold on one second.
You smell like cue cards.
We will take ourselves a break. Jimmy Kimmel.
I can't believe this.
A once victorious and now wounded Jimmy Kimmel. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. In studio.
How bizarre.
Jesse.
Oh, are we still playing?
Can't stop.
Jesse Jane from Playboy Television Night Calls is going to come in here and play a little strip whatever. Now, we could turn
strip
it into
80s
a game.
Trivia. Why not that?
Strip 80s trivia with Big Tad. All right, we'll get to that after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now, 866-901-ADAM.
What did you and Jay Leno talk about on this weekend you had together?
Jimmy Kimmel in studio, by the way. Best late night talk show on television. And that's not just me talking. That's the critics talking.
Actually, I think it is just you talking.
Oh, okay. Weeknights at 12:06 on ABC. Regis Philbin. Fine personality in tonight. I saw Leno over the weekend. Mm-hmm. You know.
Did you go to his house? Or?
No, he has a warehouse by the Burbank Airport, actually multiple warehouses that he keeps his automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
And, I go look at the cars because I like cars.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
Sweetie, I feel...
I want you to have fun. I want you to see other people.
I feel like I'd like to give it a context if I could.
It's fine.
This is not a relationship I've struck up.
This is not a relationship.
Jimmy, please. Just hear me out. This is you catching me with a hooker, not dating somebody I met on the internet.
It was just the physical
It's just
thing.
The cars. It's just the cars. We talk about you.
This is me. You do?
Well, no, but if we did talk about things other than cars, you're right at the top of the list.
I don't like it. I'm just going to go on record saying I don't like it at all.
Do you?
He has stupid cars.
You don't like him better than Jimmy, though, do you?
You know, they're different. I mean, no. No, of course. He can't. You know what? He can't hold a candle to Kimmel.
Maybe he can watch football over Jay's house on Sundays this season.
Sure, that's a good time.
Well, no, I don't think there's any reason that we should.
How many TVs does Jay have in his house?
Probably only like 12 or 13.
Well,
12.
I guess we know which way Carolla's leaning on this one. He's already even started to dress like Leno in the denim shirts.
Oh, yeah, you are wearing the blue, light blue denim uniform shirt.
He said it's slimming. And I got to say, number 9 on the 100 ugliest performers of all time, I take umbrage to that. Jay Leno's not that unattractive in real life. Jimmy Kimmel in studio. Jimmy is
destroyed. Devastated, heartbroken, and mostly disappointed.
He's a shell of a man, but he turned Tad into a shell of a pig moments ago. He used his tongue like a melon baller and scooped out the man's innards.
I made mincemeat out of lunch meat.
That's right.
But Tad's pretty good. Tad does know 80s music. We did the Name That Tune with the 80s music, and he's not bad, actually.
No. And he's good enough, I think, to beat our next guests who are coming in here, who's Jesse Jane from Playboy Television.
Where is Tad, by the way? The thing you have to wonder... Hi, Jesse. How are you? The thing you have to wonder is that is whether Tad will choke because, you know, Tad doesn't get to see women without their clothes on very often.
Yes.
Right.
I think he's out licking his wounds or a donut.
Kirsten is here as well. Also from Night Calls, yes?
Yes.
What a way to start the weekend. These ladies must be in good spirits as we roll into Friday.
I'm sure they're really excited to see you.
I'm not.
What's the problem, Jesse?
I'm really upset. I mean...
Well, what's going on?
I guess you haven't seen the news.
Well, yeah?
Ford Motors posted a $1.2 billion losses in the first quarter.
Wow.
Do you know what that means?
No.
Seriously, that's 64 cents per share, and I don't understand. I don't get it.
Yeah, you know, but you're like the hot chicks from Night Calls. I mean, what do you...
It doesn't matter. That's 64 cents per share that I'm talking about. You just don't understand. It's
I understand. You know, I'm not surprised either. Kind of what with the company's massive North American restructuring effort. I mean...
But you guys are supposed to be showing us your boobies and, you know, high and everything.
Yeah, you know, I'm just so upset. My marriage is down.
Yeah, watching an old episode of Full House.
I feel like I'm watching a Mexican soap and I can speak Spanish.
I need to see boobies.
You know what? I need to see Kirsten Price's boobs and I might feel better.
You want to see my boobs?
I would feel better about Ford's quarterly losses, too.
It helps. You don't understand. I need nurture. I feel better. Let me touch them. Okay. All right.
That's them all right.
They're really nice.
Tan line.
I'm a little better.
No. I don't get tan lines.
Oh, man. I love your show.
I don't believe in bikinis.
Bronze bosoms.
I love Night Calls. It's really, it's homework hotline for old sick pervs. You call in a couple experts, you have questions. All right. Now, we're talking Billy, our guy who's working on the internet webpage for us, is underage. He's 17.
Cute.
Here he comes.
He's very excited. But he can't see any of this.
He can't see boobies.
Okay, I'll keep him in. I'll keep the girls in the kitchen.
No, don't do that. Let's put duct tape over Billy's head.
We'll get him some blinders like they have on the horses.
And it'll kind of be torture. He'll be in here.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Flashing our boobs, and he's going to be like, I'm in here, but I can't see.
We'll give him the play-by-play, but we won't let him have it.
Just have Tad stand in front of him. He won't say a thing.
Let's do that. Let's actually blindfold Billy so that... no one gets arrested today. Sorry, Billy. You may lose your eyebrows.
And we'll see. Maybe one of you gals will date. We'll take him to the prom.
Yeah.
He does not have a prom date. It is prom season.
Ooh. Billy.
Yes. And he's is dateless. Billy?
Yeah, I'm 18 in in September.
So all right. So that we'll keep the blindfold on until then.
Yeah. We'll take a picture and show it to you on your birthday. Right. How about going to the prom with Billy?
Billy, could you even handle us going to the prom with you?
Definitely.
I mean, you're illegal. It would be like us robbing the cradle. We could get arrested for what we would do to you at the prom.
We're dirty.
We're dirty.
Bring it on.
Wow, you sound menacing.
Detention would have a whole new meaning.
All right, you're into the porn stars, Billy?
Oh, definitely, man.
Wow. Have you seen any of their movies?
My mom's listening.
Billy's cute now, but this is going to be a mess in about 15 years. An absolute mess.
Go with 15 minutes. All right, we need to take a break. Jesse Jane is here. Kirsten Price here. Night Calls, the name of their show on Playboy Television. Friday night, 6 o'clock. Jimmy Kimmel in studio going to hang with us. His show,
You don't have a date with Jay Leno you need to get to?
We'll oftentimes watch your show, critique it, and then break it down. Break off in discussion groups. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with a little strip 80s trivia.
Yeah.
Go find Big Tad. We'll be back after this.
Welcome back to Ozfest on the Adam Carolla Show. We've got all the greatest hits from Ozzy Osbourne, sung by Nicaraguan movie reviewer Oswaldo Castillo. Here's Mama, I'm Coming Home.
Time have changed, I time are strange.
Here I come back, I the same. Mama, I coming home. Time gone, by same to be. You could have been a better friend to me. Mama, I coming home.
Bill doesn't butcher the guy's songs as badly as he butchers my name.
You drop me all. Yeah, you have my inner piece. Love the phone and turn around. By the feeling in your eyes, I don't care about the sunshine. Yeah.
All right, that's enough. We have movies to look at. Given the choice between hearing Ozzy prattle on or looking at boobies, I'm going boobies every time.
Boobies!
All right, let's figure this out. Jesse Jane is here from Night Calls. My partner from Night Calls, Kirsten Price, is here. I know you guys are a little bummed out about the newspaper today.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm just concerned about the 30,000 employees at Ford who've been laid off.
Yeah, they're doing a big layoff.
Yeah, 30,000.
Not to mention the 14 plants that have been closed.
What's happening right now to the American automotive industry? Seriously, Adam. Adam.
Aren't you guys supposed to be doing blow with Kid Rock and pulling your shirt over your head and stuff? I mean, really this concerned about American car company?
You know what cars can do to a girl?
Interesting.
They could run them over.
Yes. If they don't take their tops off in a timely fashion. I agree with Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel, everyone. Jimmy Kimmel Live, weeknights, 12:06, ABC. Regis on tonight. Now, who else do we have in studio? Larissa, who's our Foxy intern,
yes,
Larissa.
She is. Yes, she is.
Who has a history with Jesse Jane.
And Kirsten Price, believe it or not.
Oh,
we've
really?
All been together.
We go way back.
It's unclear what exactly went down.
It is, but Larissa, in the future, to save time, just tell us the porn stars you haven't been with.
Might be more efficient.
Now, Larissa is beautiful. I mean, she's a flawless, tan-skinned, and she's petite, and has a beautiful eyes and a beautiful smile, and wouldn't seem like the type to swing with porn stars, yet has a rich history in pornography.
I came in here as, like, a college student. Like, I just want an internship, and then Jesse comes over in here and ruined my facade here.
Really nothing.
Yeah.
But it's hot playing the good girl when you're really bad. There's something about it.
Well,
How do you know
Kirsten and Jesse?
Well, I know Kirsten through Jesse. Before she was married, before anything, she had just moved out here, and I met her. And
you know her by her real name, Mia Schwartz, too, right?
Oh, and yes, and my dad, because he works with them.
Dad does taxes for porn stars.
My uncle actually works with Kirsten in the company.
Look, when is your goddamn dad going to have a barbecue so I can swing by the pad? Me and Len. Oh, come by in the Bentley. Oh.
The best was when Jesse started telling my dad about how she was in movies with his clients and how she got to lift her leg up in the waterfall.
I'm acrobatic.
And my dad was looking at her like, wow.
Your dad was blushing. Your dad was blushing because I was just very informative.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there blushing too.
This would be more fun if you all three you would lose the shirts already.
I could beat you all, by the way. I've been with Jimmy Kimmel, so I'm cool.
By the way, young Billy, who's only 17 years old, now looks like he's been captured by Al-Qaeda because he has a hood over his head. And I can tell his unhappiness is glowing right through that black hood.
A prisoner at Abu Ghraib is what he looks like.
This is so mean to him to put him in here to hear it all and not be able to see.
Well, I think it's awesome.
He's underage. We don't want any trouble. Now, you guys are here in part to plug the Playboy Guide to Poker, which you get free if you sign up or subscribe to Playboy, the Playboy channel.
All you have to do is order Playboy TV anytime in April, and you'll get the free book, A Playboy Guide to Playing Poker at Home. Mm-hmm. And you can also get entered into a sweepstakes to win a trip to the opening of the Playboy Club at the Palm in the fall.
And your chances are greater than 50-50 of winning. If you, by the way, we were talking about playing poker and then decided, oh, screw that, let's just do some 80s trivia because you guys are going to have a worse chance at winning that. 80s music trivia, that is. And you can play against the loser of the last round, which
no
is
money.
Big Cat.
No money on the line.
Strip.
This is strip 80s music.
I'm always down for stripping.
How does it work? Tad gets to, each time Tad wins, he gets to tell him an article of clothing to take off, and vice versa, by the way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, this would be fun.
It's on. Let's
yeah.
do it.
But all yeah. three of you have to lose that same article of clothing.
And again, all three of you can play. It'll be 3 against 2.5. Thank you.
What, y'all don't want
to
lose
okay,
your clothes,
play this too?
Okay. So you mean Larissa okay, might be stripping as
wait,
well?
If Larissa yeah, told them I can't. Plays this, then she takes her clothes off. So I don't think Larissa should be in it.
Mm. Oh, who told you can't strip?
Breska.
All right, Breska, fire yourself after the show.
Kind of but wait a minute. You?
Would you if you were allowed to?
Of course she would.
Yeah, she yes. would. Yes. Look at her blushing. Look at her blushing.
Let the woman answer for herself.
Breska, it doesn't always have to be about your bosoms. We can see someone else's for once.
I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian.
She gets jealous over here. She doesn't want to see.
Larissa, would you in fact get undressed if Breska forbid you from
God,
doing
my
it?
My dad's probably listening.
He has very delicate sensibilities.
Let's just assume he passed out a few minutes ago.
All right, why not?
Perfect. Oh, great. Now more pressure on me.
Hey, by the way, the guy just finishes doing Peter Norse 1099. And he's offended?
He's trying to figure out how much lube he can deduct.
It's a lot.
All right, so Larissa, you have to sit this one out?
Yes, I guess so.
All right. Very aww. Sad.
Wait a minute. How does I know it's some workplace issue, but why is it that we get to see Tad naked if he's...
Yeah, yeah watch it, Broska.
How good old point. Is Larissa?
She's 12.
No, I'm 20.
Mm. Yeah. No, it's probably best that you don't participate.
I don't have to have a blindfold.
Your time will come. Your time will come.
All right. So Billy, dang. Who's 17, has a hood over his head. He can do nothing.
I can't even believe it.
Kristen Price here from Playboy Television, also Jesse Jane. Shall we begin? Now, Big Tad, it's you against the girls.
I know.
And,
I know.
You must be prepared to get nude yourself.
Yes, I like I haven't done that before.
Okay. Ladies, overcome your disappointment about what's going on over at Ford.
We'll try.
And all this is, name that tune. That's all you're doing here.
Name mm-hmm. that tune.
I'm nervous.
Here we go.
Sweet Dreams of Eurythmics.
Oh.
Tad won.
Well, yeah, Tad won. This is well. Tad did name the artist, but I think we're gonna have to write it down because with three players, it's too confusing.
Good point.
Okay. But for now, here. Let's say that Tad won that first one.
Well, let's call it a tie, and they all remove something.
I won it.
There you go.
I won it.
All right, well, Tad, everyone takes something off.
Okay.
It's what a are we push. Off? Yeah. Well, start with whatever article you like.
I vote for clothes.
I see a shoe. I think you should start with a shoe.
Okay, let's make this interesting.
All right. Hmm. And just remember again, pants, shirt, and bra count as one.
Tad, are you wearing your bra?
Yes, I am, right. actually.
Tad, it's not that time of the month for you, is it? This could get humiliating.
All right. So if you know the answer, yell out stop and write it down. You have 5 seconds then.
Title and artist? Or?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Round two.
Ooh.
It's could have horribly backfired on us.
All right. I think they got it. Yeah.
What do you got?
We'll
what do you got, Christian?
Walking on Sunshine, Katrina and the Waves. Never happens.
Tad, what do you got?
I had the same thing.
Yes! Tad's right!
Yeah!
This game is rigged.
What are you talking about?
Come on, girls. Rules are rules.
Tad gets to pick what they take off.
Yes. Let's take off the tops, please.
Right to the tops? They have hats on.
You know how long it's been since I've seen a girl naked close to me?
Yeah, I'm a little too close to you to experience
he was
that.
Coming out of his mom.
Whoa.
Hey, whoa.
All right.
Jimmy's got Tad's wang poking him in the thigh.
That's my big toe.
And poor Billy, I still has that hood over his head. And still manages to achieve an erection.
Billy, just for you, let me describe something. Jesse has like a demi, like a half cup bra, and it's one of them or two of them are spilling out so you can see a little...
Areola.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Just for Billy, because he can't see what's happening.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, the size of Frisbees. Yeah. Prodigious areola, which is my Jewish name. All right, are we ready for round three?
Gotta write it down.
I know the artist. I'm so bad at this game.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you a clue. The first name of the band is something you experience every workday.
Right. Ready? Yes. Everybody have fun tonight, Wang Chung.
Yes, Wang! Thank
That's
you.
So wrong, anyways. What's going on?
What did you have?
I don't even want to tell you.
What did you have?
No, what
nothing
is it?
I did.
She had Huey Lewis.
You had Huey Lewis.
Wow.
It's always a good bet.
Everybody
loves him.
Kirsten, how do you get tan all over that way?
Yeah.
You go to the spray booth?
That's a Mystic
I'm Italian.
Tan.
No,
right?
It's not.
It's a product called Tanser.
You look amazing.
Thank you.
And you brought a box of porn for me, huh?
I did. I brought a big box of porn. My new movie, it's not even released yet, and you get to see it first.
Fantabulous. I'll be having a new release after I watch 10 minutes of it.
Tad, your clothing item.
I think I'm going to go with pants this time.
I'm not wearing panties either.
Oh, well. Wow. I'm not wearing any underwear either, so you better...
You know what? I'm just going to give you the shoe. I'm going to take it off and let you have that.
To keep?
No.
No.
Heck no. I love these shoes.
Poor Billy just standing there like a wooden Indian.
Oh,
meantime, that creep August is leering in from the green room. Look at him.
Yeah, people I've never even seen before.
Did you want to see my butt?
August, should we be working on booking the receptionist for Monday?
I can't quite get them off.
Hey, even our gay board op is looking.
He's rooting for the girls.
Toys are toys.
All right, the girls are now mostly nude.
Kirsten is not lying. Nude on the bottom.
This will be great. They're totally naked, sitting in the chairs normally reserved for Dick Cavett.
That's a hygiene problem. We're warming it up for them.
Pat is going to be sniffing those chairs for weeks.
All right, now it's time for round 5, I believe.
I suck at this game.
Me too.
I have no idea.
Wild Boys, Duran Duran.
Wow.
What's coming off now?
That is great.
Let's finish it.
We're going boobies?
The boobies.
Nice.
Billy, can I get a drum roll?
Kirsten, what do you have? A solid BC natural cup there?
Yep.
Very nice.
I call them my killer bees.
And all over. Yeah, that is very nice work.
At least I won something today, damn it.
Look at how happy Tad is right now. I mean, look at the. And look how unhappy Billy is with that hood over his head.
Miserable. Billy, you've never seen anything like this.
Oh, my God.
We're naked.
Close by you.
We're so close.
There's two totally naked women, really like a foot from you right now.
We're literally 2 feet from you is Kristen, no panties on.
Oh my God.
And not one of these old dried up porn stars, young and nubile and beautiful. And let me tell you something too, Billy. It may be some time before you see a naked woman again.
It might not ever happen.
not like these two.
Wow.
Billy can't say a thing.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm just speechless, you know.
He can't even talk.
He just wants to say that he supports the terrorists and please do whatever they have to. Give them whatever they need. Please release him.
He really does look like a hostage. All right.
Hey, you know, if you still need me to do something with my hands, I'm available, you know.
Yes, put them down.
I'm sure you'll find something to do with them.
I want to thank the girls, Kirsten and Jesse Jane, for coming in here. Night calls. Friday nights, 6 p.m. Playboy TV. Also, you sign up for Playboy Television, you get a free copy of Playboy's Guide to Poker. Thank you very much, ladies.
Thank you.
And I got to say, thank you for getting naked. You know what? We played this game with the comedian Jim Gaffigan. Got him down to his underpants, and then he wouldn't take them off. What a pro.
An amateur.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, is Jimmy, are you hanging?
Yeah, I'm here.
Literally.
Jimmy Kimmel is staying with us. You guys get dressed so that Billy can catch some air.
peak? No.
No, sorry. We'll take a break. We'll be right back with news and sports after this.
It's time now for free advice from heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony.
Dear James Tony, 10 weeks before my wedding, my future father-in-law telephoned my fiancé to tell him that his sister, Courtney, no longer wanted to be in the wedding. When I called Courtney to ask why she had changed her mind, she told me she didn't care to ever have a relationship with me and that she thinks her brother could do a lot better than me. My fiancé told his family that Courtney would not be welcome at our wedding until she apologizes to me for the hateful things she said. His parents say that they won't attend our wedding if Courtney isn't welcome. Any advice? Dist in Delaware.
Dear Dist, only this, in light of her animosity towards you, Courtney does not belong at the wedding. if only because her presence could be disruptive. As for your fiancé's parents, should they choose to skip their son's wedding in an attempt to blackmail you into having her there? It is their decision, and they have to live with it. This is only a sample of way you'll be manipulated into the future. If you cave into their demands, you have my deepest sympathy.
Free advice from heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony.
Speaking of heavyweight champions, we have the heavyweight champion of late night TV, Jimmy Kimmel, in
Thank
studio.
You.
Weeknights, 12 o'clock. Tonight's guest, Regis Philbin. The surprisingly talented. I mean, when you meet him in real life, you really realize
he's the best.
Really,
he's a
funny
character.
And he's, I don't know if he's 70 or 68 or 72, but he's sharp as a tack.
Yes. He's old.
And
he's
in good
old
shape.
And crazy.
And funny. All right. Now, Jimmy's going to hang with us. We've, by the way, Billy, our guy is doing our website, 17-year-old Billy. Billy?
Yeah.
No prom date.
Billy's mom called him right after the strippers were in here. We had him blindfolded so he couldn't see anything.
It's funny because I don't picture, you know, I don't know you. I just met you a couple days ago. But at first glance, you strike me as one of those lone wolf rebel kind of guys. One of those guys, love them and leave them. Maybe got in a blowout with your drunken stepdad at 15 and was kicked out of the house and just on your own, in a van, making your own way, living living hard and loving hard. You don't strike me as the kind of guy I'd care about what his mom said.
That's about it. Yeah, that's about what happened to me, too. You know, I don't live with my dad or anything. Mm. And Yeah, basically, that's my life right there. You know,
he's giving himself to his work, as he said earlier. He's devoted to developing websites and has no time for the ladies.
Catherine?
Yes?
You're Billy's mom?
Yes, Adam. Adam, are you corrupting the woes of my child there?
No. Listen, I want you to know that we completely respect your child by putting a pillowcase on his head while we had strippers diddling themselves.
I wouldn't describe him necessarily as a rose, though, I have to say.
Yes.
He's more of a bulb.
He's been there at the studio for like 24 hours because, you know, you're his hero.
I spent the night here.
And he spent the night there answering calls and screening calls. Yeah, I figure that's the least he could, you know. I mean, besides me, his next favorite person is you.
Really?
And he wants to spend time close to you, so I figured on his Easter break he can do that.
Well, now, what if he had seen the naked ladies? Would you have had a problem with that?
Nah, he's seen me before.
What?
It's not really the same.
Mom, we're nationally syndicated, okay?
Oh, okay. Well, it's not like that. I mean, I change and
you do,
everything.
I mean, that's fine. You're comfortable changing in front of a 17-year-old boy.
I took a bath with my dad last week. It's no big thing. It's nothing.
Mom and the whole world.
Billy, when was the last time you saw your mother's breasts? Be honest.
Gosh, I don't even know.
It's been too long, is what he's trying to say.
It has been long.
I am discreet.
I saw my mom naked when I was 14 and just stopped vomiting last week.
I'm not sure that my mother has ever been naked.
Well, you figure at least three times for you and Jill and your brother Johnny. All right, so where were we? Billy, yes. Your mother, you guys are okay. You, well, what about the ladies, though, Catherine? Your son is spending too much time at work and not enough time focusing on the ladies. You know, don't you want him to have a social life?
He does have a social life, but and you got it right on the head. It's a love him and leave him type guy because. He has girls clamoring after him, but he's not interested right now.
He does not have girls clamoring him.
Only in your eyes.
I understand you're a mother and it's your job to be delusional.
Yeah.
But even with the sack over his head, Billy can see more than this.
Billy, have you had a steady gal?
No.
You're more comfortable saying goodbye than hello, aren't you?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Are you a virgin?
Or really even more comfortable never saying anything to them, to the girls?
More comfortable with a pillow over his head like an enemy combatant.
That was just torture, you know.
Are you a virgin, Billy?
Maybe.
Yeah. I'll take that as a big affirmative. Yeah?
You're
He's
not?
Got a look on his face.
Oh, he isn't.
What
do you know about
you
this, Mom?
I know all about it.
Oh, really? You do? You know about his experience with the young lady?
What experience?
The one that he's wearing on his face right now as he glares at us with bug eyes.
I can't do anything when I'm not there.
Yeah. You know what would be a fun thing to do? We're going to do the news. You know what would be great is if you could reposition yourself in Billy's room, and we'll have you look for his pornography. We'll have you go through the room and do a little treasure hunt.
That's fun. Can you play like some... Flight of the Bumblebee music or something.
So why don't we do that? And you repo, and then we'll have a treasure hunt on the air. Wouldn't that be nice, Billy? We can play the hot cold game.
Find the porn.
My room is a mess. No,
I'm sure it is.
It is.
All right, look for porn, Mom.
Okay.
No, we'll do it live on the air. We'll have her look around.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yes, it's generally near the bed.
Okay? Yeah, generally, but not always.
Not always.
But Billy, a virgin, yes.
Yeah.
No, he seems like it's hard to tell.
Billy makes the eyes that indicate yes, he has.
He's doing the please don't say it wave. No, I'm going to say that Billy is not a virgin.
Really?
And that he and his mom are going to have a lot to talk about shortly.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Catherine, please look for Billy's porn collection.
Can we do it on the air?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do the news, and then we'll come back and look for Billy's porn.
It's like Where's Waldo? It's Where's Porno.
Okay.
Do we have a prize for Billy's mom if she finds it?
The T-shirt that was over his head.
How about a safe, dignified death? It's not going to be slow. No, and here's what I want you to do. You got to start looking for tells. You know, look for the tube socks, and then follow that trail toward the hamper. That's where the answers will be.
Okay, his hamper is the floor.
Wow.
We'll give her a gift certificate to Overstock.com or something.
Okay. All right, Catherine, you look for Billy's porn,
and
we'll do the news now with Teresa Strasser.
Okay.
I'm going to go right to entertainment news because it's a little hard to go to Zacharias Moussaoui right now for some reason. Julia Roberts made her Broadway debut this week, and according to the New York Post, very glum today at the reviews for her performance in the play 3 Days of Rain, which ranged from bad to brutal, although there were a lot of big celebrities there on Broadway, including Oprah, Dave Matthews, James Gandolfini. Here's Oprah right before the show.
I am confident that she's going to blow us all away.
And you made a trip out here. Why was it so important for you to be here tonight for her?
Because that's what friends do for friends.
That's what blowhards do for blowhards. Catherine, are you looking for Billy's porn?
Yes, but you know what? To no avail.
No, to no avail. You just got more stories.
He's as innocent as he says.
Keep looking. Okay. Come on. Look like you're trying to find.
All right. I'm opening up drawers.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Keep looking.
No, that's okay. I'll give you a couple of minutes while I talk more about Julia Roberts' debut, 3 Days of Rain. We just heard from Oprah before the show. Here's James Gandolfini reacting to Julia Roberts' performance after the show.
Well, this boring Jehovah's Witnesses are more interested.
And again, it's on the top of all the news, all these entertainment news shows. Julia Roberts acting. Julia Roberts on stage. She's an actress. Is it news? I mean, what's the big deal? She's been acting for 25 years. Why do we have to stop the presses? Because she's decided to take the stage where acting goes on. She's not a coal miner.
Because Oprah was there. You know, Oprah was late, and everyone had to wait for Oprah to get there before the show started.
They hold the curtain for Winfrey.
Wow.
Not for Dave Matthews.
He doesn't.
Is that Billy's mom?
I'm looking for the stuff he does have.
Yeah, where are you looking right now?
What?
Tell us where you're looking exactly right now.
I'm looking on top of his bookshelf.
Okay, have you looked under the bed?
Under the bed.
Billy, is there a box?
Under the bed. I'm lifting up the mattress.
The mattress?
Nightstand?
There's nothing there. All he has, the magazines he has, is Broadcast Engineering and Radio Magazine.
Oh.
Have you been touching yourself to those, Billy?
Yeah, because you know those sexy microphones, man. They just turn me on.
Is there anything I need to know, like pictures, like a collage of me where the eyeballs have been erased?
You go on my desktop computer at home, and there's nothing but Adam Carolla and Dave Damaschek pictures.
On a desktop. Yeah, it's just totally you. It's all about you now.
I don't know. Billy's voice and the way he has his sweatshirt knotted around his neck, I'm worried you might find a Honcho magazine in there. I'll be honest with you.
Any cult roundups in there?
No, nothing. Just cups of old coffee.
Keep looking.
All right, keep looking. You keep looking, Teresa.
Okay. A 76-year-old Florida man decided to get a doctor bag and go door-to-door offering free breast exams.
Boobies!
Right.
Two women, amazingly, took him up on the offer. And in one case, he got a little greedy and slipped his hands down her pants, at which point she went to the cops. And now the guy is up on two counts of sexual battery.
Well, as Jimmy Kimmel's always said, when you get older, you go for broke.
That's right.
Who cares? You're old. It's essentially you're leaving a high school you'll never return to. You might as well go tell that PE coach what you really think of him. That's when you get old, that's it.
Life in prison?
Drugs. It's like 3 years in prison.
Right,
how bad could it be?
Why not risk it, you know, and try to play doctor and go down the grocery
line? Billy, what's wrong?
Nothing.
You all right? I'm Where fine. Should she be looking? Because, I mean, why make this go on?
I have no idea.
You have no idea.
I have one more sentence left in my news. Can we give her sports to keep looking?
Yeah, yes. Sure.
Okay,
sure.
This is my last sad news, especially for Adam Carolla. Celebrity Cooking Showdown canceled by NBC after three low-rated episodes.
I was wondering about that. I looked for it last night. It was spectacularly atrocious.
And Dave Coulier gave someone salmonella.
That's it. Down.
What a shocker that America wouldn't want to see Patrick Duffy make a seven-layer dip.
Yes.
I can't believe it.
Cindy Margolis baked Alaska.
Oh, Debbie Gibson's making creme brulee and the world isn't hanging on every turn of the spatula. Incredible.
Listen, I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports.
I will be brief so that we can focus on the quest for pornography. But I will say this, UCLA fans, I hope you enjoyed the exciting run to the Final Four of your basketball team this spring, because it looks like it's all done with. Aaron Aflalo and Jordan Farmar both say they're going pro, but they're not hiring agents, so there's a chance that they'll come back. But still, grim news, perhaps. Our national pastime, Dodgers took the day off. Halos beat the Twins. Mariners dumped by the Rangers. Athletics lost. Padres slipped in Petco to the Mets. Giants bumped off by the Snakes in Arizona. It was a crazy game, but most importantly, Barry the Creep Bonds still homerless. I like it. 7:30 tonight, Stanley Cup playoffs begin. The Anaheim Mighty Ducks pay a visit to the Calgary Flames, and the Nashville Predators host the San Jose Sharks and the NHL's leading goal scorer this season, a man named Chee-Choo.
Chee-Choo!
There he is himself speaking. And tomorrow, the NBA playoffs begin. It'll be L.A.'s best pro team, the Clips, with a home game, no less, against the Denver Nuggets. 7:30 at the Staples Center, Kings of Sacramento, down in San Antonio to play the defending world champs. Then on Sunday, the Kobe's visit Phoenix Suns. And one thing I do want to point out quickly is, did you see what Mark Cuban did?
No.
A couple nights ago when the Clippers were down there, he made a big announcement. It was Fan Appreciation Night. And listen to what he did. Let's take a listen.
You got to go to every game. You got to have a American Airlines. Free tickets out of low field to anywhere American Airlines flies for every fan in the building.
Could you hear that
you
over the rock and roll music? Free airline tickets to the 17,000 people in the audience.
Wow.
Unbelievable. I once thought it was the greatest thing of my lifetime in 1982 when I was at a Penguins hockey game and Davey Hannon scored the seventh goal, thereby giving everybody in attendance a free bowl of chili at Wendy's. And I thought this was the greatest coup.
Bruska, how does this work? We get a gift certificate for Hooters for $63.50, and Cuban can hand out tickets to 17,000 fans?
What a thing.
Catherine.
Yes, sir.
By the way, speaking of Hooters, I will sweeten the porn pot and help you in your quest to find Billy's porn.
Well, I've deduced it to one thing.
$100 at Hooters if you find something. What
it's
is it?
It's got to be on his computer, and I don't know his password.
Oh, interesting. Computers. All right, we're going to get that password out of Billy, and we'll come back to the mom.
Yeah, try the Ace Man.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Try Columbine.
Moms, no. You know that password.
I'm just playing.
I'll get it out of Billy.
I really don't.
All right, we're going to tickle Billy until he gives us the password.
Okay.
All right, hang tight, Mama. Sorry, Shaq. Didn't mean to steal your thunder.
So be it. I think this is a more
compelling,
important issue, yes.
Okay. Are you done?
I'm through.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Jimmy Kimmel in studio, so is our new tech guy, the guy setting up the website, or at least modifying it. Billy.
Oh, everybody.
Everybody check out the Adam Carolla Show official MySpace page mm-hmm. at mm-hmm. myspace.com/Adam Carolla.
Lone Wolf. Love him and leave him, Billy, everybody. Hops on the back of his hog, turns his collar up, reflective shades, and it's off to his next sexual conquest.
You got it.
You're a rebel, my friend. We'll take a break. We'll be back after this.
This is Quagmire. You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. A little bit of time left. A little bit of unfinished business. Catherine is on the phone. It's Billy's mom. Billy's 17. He's our new guy working on the website. During the break, Jimmy tickled the password out of Billy, gave it to Catherine. You're on his computer now. What have you found?
Nothing but pictures of Adam Carolla.
Okay, here's what I'd like you to do. Do you see the control button in the bottom left-hand corner?
Yes.
Okay, hold that down and press the letter H.
Press the letter H?
Hold the control button down and press the letter H.
Okay.
Why?
Okay, now look at the left side of your screen. That's the history. That's what he's been, things he's looked at on different websites. do you see, what do you see on the left side there? There should be a list of today, yesterday.
No, all I got was the help center.
No milking and popping at all?
Are you sure you have the Internet Explorer open?
It's not Internet Explorer.
No, wait, I don't think it's Internet Explorer.
Are you using the SBC browser?
I'm using the SBC browser.
Yeah, we have SBC Yahoo.
How can she check sites you've been on?
All right.
Go to the start button down in the bottom corner.
Got it.
Okay. Now go to the thing that says search.
Search.
Click that. You see that? Search?
Yes.
All right. Now it says, what do you want to search for? Pictures, music, or video?
Uh-huh.
Click pictures. Click the pictures thing.
Okay.
And then check the pictures and photos.
He's sighing heavily.
What's the matter, Billy? Right.
You see that?
Pictures and photos.
Now press search.
Search.
And things should start coming up.
Uh-huh.
What?
And it'll start with some small things, maybe some stock photos of, like, flowers and stuff that come with the computer that your little Rose has downloaded.
Mm-hmm.
And just as it goes, just start kind of scrolling downward there.
See all of his pictures, and it's Mr. Adam Carolla.
Oh my God, this is
UFM,
worse. This is worse.
American flags.
Wow.
And pictures of his sister.
Oh no!
No!
How dare you? Not those kinds.
Is there any soon the day of reckoning will be upon us?
No.
Talk.
No. Nothing. No. Oh, what's this blonde?
No.
Oh.
That's mine.
Oh, that's yours.
Who's in the background?
Share a computer with your sister?
No, different desktops.
Well, his little sister is helping me.
As soon as CBS pays me the money they owe me, I'm buying my own laptop. So.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and declare you a virgin because here's
There's
the
nothing there?
No, we will continue this quest.
Why is he
next
sweating like this? Yeah. I mean, look at him.
Give it the weekend. We got to go.
All right. Look, I know you didn't think this is the way this was going to go down, but for not having porn, you're fired. I can't tolerate people around me that don't peruse the internet looking for pornography.
But think of it this way, Adam. He's totally committed to you.
No. You just don't know how to use a computer properly.
That's what I want. Husky 17-year-olds totally committed to me. All right, let's take a... We have to take a break. I'm sorry, Catherine, we appreciate you being a mother and helping us look for porno.
Oh, you're a good man, Adam. Thank you very much.
Yes, what a mystery man you are.
I love you, William.
I love you.
Oh, that's sweet. Darling way to
go. All right, kid, now go get your shine box. Jimmy Kimmel, I want to thank for coming in here every night, weeknights on ABC 1205.
Thank
Leanne
you.
Rimes, This Woman, Name of Her Elm, out now. Paul White's American Dreams. Again, our friends over at iecoffee.com. The guy's wife is sick. She has tumors in her brain. Help these guys out. They're good people. They have a good product. Not looking for charity, just business. iecoffee.com. Jesse Jane and Kirsten Price from Night Calls on Playboy TV. And until next time, I want to thank Teresa. What a mensch, as your
marvelous
people say.
Job.
Thank you.
And the porno girl.
A marvelous job done all week.
Thank you very much.
We'll take a extendo break. And until next time, this is Adam saying mahalo.